Defendo Radio is on now.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Infendo Radio, a special show we got here for you guys today, our pre-E3 show with predictions. As usual, I'm here with my regular cohorts, Lewis and Scott. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How about you guys?
I'm doing great, just planning a few of these E3 predictions.
It's hard to believe we're only just a few days away from E3 right now. You know, our quintessential, like, you know, Christmas for gamers, it's just, instead of just getting the games right away to play them, we get to show them and tease us to everybody and just like, when are these coming out right now? But there's a lot to talk about in this show. Scott, what you been playing?
Sadly, I have not had a lot of time to play anything since our last podcast. Been very, very busy. I was a guest... I guess for the first hour of another podcast related to some information.
Yeah. So. I was actually tweeted me and Lewis and Eugene about this whatever, but I was on the road probably when I got this. Which, sorry to cut this off, but you know I was in the middle of a really big tornado system that came through like my home state of Missouri, which resulted in me having to take shelter inside a local Wendy's with a buddy of mine. So, and I was thinking like, hey, we can just take shelter in here, you know, maybe get something to eat. Doors were both locked as we're pouring down rain. We're sitting there letting us in, saying like, let us in, let us in. And they're like, sorry, you can take shelter, but we're not serving food. And it's like, so, you know, I was not able to listen to that right now. I mean, what exactly was this that you were like, guest spotting on?
Well, it's just a short little book. It's an anthology that's going to be benefiting disabled and wounded veterans, and possibly some other things in the future that might benefit things like the Oklahoma disaster that just happened and so on. We might have something in the work for that, but it's going to be a charity anthology, zombie themed. So just kind of talked about my submission for the item and you know, just basically chit-chat about zombies and writing and good stuff like that.
Did you mention basically the oversaturation of zombies basically in media right now? Because I feel as if like there's been this time where it's been like, okay, we've had vampires, now we have zombies, and I'm thinking like, where's the love for dinosaurs now? I mean, I remember in the early 90s we had so many different like dinosaur films out there, be it direct-to-video or even in theaters. I mean, obviously that trend was started with Jurassic Park, but I mean, come on, we need more dinosaurs out there. But, I mean, so it was just basically kind of just a randomness, whatever, as far as you guys were talking on there, besides, you know, just to help for a good cause.
Yeah, basically that's pretty much it. You know, there's a possibility of taking that short story and make it into something bigger in the future. And, you know, just basic things I've been working on with on my writing side. So it was kind of cool. There was some talk about, you know, oversaturation of zombies and kind of my take for the short story on it. So, you know, not too bad. I mean, the hour went by very fast. We had a lot of discussion. Actually, they invited my youngest daughter on there to talk about some of her horror type writings. So, it was a pretty good time overall.
Sounds pretty, I mean, yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, were you able to plug the website at all?
I tried to sneak it in there. They were on a delay and wouldn't let that exactly, but I tried.
I was going to say, I mean, it's like, you get the end of it, it's like, by the way, can I actually, you know, just pimp out, you know, Infendo, like, Infendo Radio real quick right now, you know, we're just a site. I mean, I feel you right now as far as stuff that we're not playing, because once again, I have not been able to pick up my 3DS as much as possible right now. I mean, I delved in a little bit more in Luigi's Mansion, haven't finished it. It's a game that, you know, from the looks of it, I should be able to finish, you know, pretty quickly. I mean, I'm on the last mansion, and, I mean, overall, yeah, I'm still liking every bit of it right now, and I know Lewis has been asking me to play online multiplayer with us right now, just scheduling right now. I've not been able to get to it, but really the only other thing I haven't really played is, I just finished up, probably for the 100th time, Super Metroid on the Virtual Console, and I decided to kind of get a little bit fun. I mean, this is one thing I like about the Miiverse option on there, and one thing I would really like to kind of correct with Miiverse in there, and is obviously, you know, you can hit the home button whenever you're playing to take a screenshot of said, like, you know, whenever you're into the game. and then you just click into Miiverse and go in there. I mean, I really wish there was kind of a drop-down menu, whatever, where it would just kind of pop up where Miiverse is there, kind of like what you would have, like, on an iOS device when, like, or even iOS or Windows, where they've integrated Twitter and Facebook on there into the operating system, where you can just be like, all right, click Facebook and post this photo, and bam, you don't have to go through the application. I mean, that's one thing I kind of hope they could implement a little bit more, but what I did probably near the end is, when I was in the, what level was I in Super Metroid? Oh, Meridia, where you're facing the boss, Dragon, and you guys are all obvious with the cheap boss trick that you can use to defeat him, right? Anybody?
Nope, sorry, I had my microphone on mute. I did hear about that a little bit, but I haven't had a chance to really play it to try it out yet.
I would say, Lewis, have you heard of this as well?
I'm not sure I have.
Well, basically when you enter the boss area, like a portion of where you're facing Dragon, there's these two little electronic turrets that basically, one's broken off the far left end, but once you go in, there's four in each, like there's two in each side. You go and take them in missiles and you break them open, so basically there shows the electric currents going through there. So when Dragon comes through there, you equip the grapple beam, and you make sure that you're facing either whatever end of the electrical currents when Dragon grabs you, which takes quite a bit of like damage away from you if you can't get it right, and the boss will like spin up and up and down, and you just got to keep hitting, you know, the grapple beam, and then if you get lucky enough, your grapple beam will hit to one of those currents and then just automatic kill, basically, to the boss, which the reason I discovered this is when I actually watched a couple Super Metroid, you know, speed runs, and that was, like, one of the big tricks that they would use. And I paused that little section of it, whatever, and posted the Miiverse as I'm shocking Dragon in all capital letters saying, "Don't tase me, bro." And others was, like, right when Samus's ship is leaving, Planet Zebus, or Zebus now. I always kept figuring out how they would pronounce it. I know it's Zebus and other M, but I always pronounce it as Zebus. So, I mean, choice thing. It's the same thing when I went with, like, Samus Aran to Iran. So, anyway, as Samus's ship is leaving, whatever, you know, spinning out of, like, you know, the vortex of what the remains of it, I had to put a Dumb and Dumber quote on there, paused it, and it says, "Big gulps, huh? Well, see you later." And I mean, it's fun stuff like that I get onto there, whatever, I mean, but that's all I've been playing. And Lewis, I know you've been actually been playing quite a few stuff right now, both current and classic games.
Yeah, most definitely. On the classic front, I recently downloaded one of my kind of childhood favorite Super Nintendo games, which is Kirby's Superstar.
Ooh, yes. It's been a while since I played that.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually the first time I've played it by this name, because its European title is actually Kirby's Fun Pack, believe it or not. I'm not sure if that's a UK-only thing.
Fun. Well, yes, Kirby is fun, and it's quite a pack of fun. It's a pack of fun, so.
And if memory serves me right, they spell pack as in P-A-K, just to add the extra 90s cool factor into there.
Yeah, kind of like how most like 90s titles like that, which began with Mortal Kombat, because, you know, spelling combat with a K, and my only thought was like, because the K is more threatening?
It's definitely more hardcore than a C.
Most definitely. So beyond the name of the this classic favorite Kirby game, it's great to have the American version, because you get it in the, for myself, I get it in the nice 60Hz mode opposed to the slightly slowed down 50Hz version. So I've made my way through a couple of the games, which is not a huge challenge, as it were, by any normal game standards or Kirby standards per se. So I've managed to make my way through, I think it's the first three, and I'm currently doing Revenge of Meta Knight, which is possibly my favourite of the collection in there. Have you guys all played Superstar?
It's been a while. I remember renting it because I know that game came out quite at the end of the Super Nintendo's life cycle. I was only able to rent it once, and as a kid, I was kind of confused as to what it exactly was. Was it just a full-fledged adventure, or was it just? It wasn't until I actually bought it where it was just all of these. Yeah, you had a couple of these mini game titles, but also you had a couple of other games on there that were kind of full-fledged adventure titles. So I was never able to finish it, and I kind of wish I picked it up when they re-released it on what was it on? Oh, yeah, the DS. I never got it on there, but, I mean, thankfully with this on the Virtual Console, I'm able to kind of relive it. Scott, did you ever play it?
I think I'm in the same situation. I rented it once, but I never really played it afterwards. Never got back to it. I've always wanted to, but I think that back then in my younger years, at that point, it was just playing a game with a little pink blob as the main character. It was, you know, probably not my favorite thing to do, but I mean, of course, you know, growing up, you come to just love Kirby in the long run. But I never did go back to play that one. I should pick that up.
You know, I'd definitely recommend it. As I was saying before, my favorite of the collection is Meta Knight's Revenge, because they take this serious approach to Kirby, which is absolutely fantastic in my book. The beginning of the game starts off with kind of Kirby crash landing on Meta Knight's. Was it the Halberd? Is the ship?
I never knew the name of like Halberd? These Kirby games had the name of the ships. I know it had a name. Are you talking about the same ship that was, you know?
It makes the appearance in Brawl as well.
Yeah, okay, that one. That huge behemoth of a ship.
Exactly. So you crash land on that ship, and as you're kind of racing through the levels, and you have this kind of fast-paced action-themed music going in the background, you also have these talking prompts from the enemies at the bottom of the screen as they're kind of talking on some sort of communicator, and they're discussing the best tactics to take Kirby down, all while you're going through one area to the ship to the next, blowing up parts of it, and you can see the impact of the ship, and certain parts of the ship fall off and explode to the ground. And they try to make this almost cinematic approach to this almost Kirby action game, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Nice.
On a more recent note, I've been carrying on my playthrough of Resident Evil Revelations on the Wii U. I did play this on the 3DS, but I never did get that far. But I'm very pleasantly surprised with how Resident Evil Revelations is kind of taking this middle ground between Resident Evil 4 and the more classic games, and I can't remember the last time I was playing a survival horror experience which was as tense or as kind of adrenaline pumping as Revelations is. I recently was going through a chapter, and anyone who's played the game will probably be able to recall, you can hear this voice like screaming Mayday throughout the door, and basically you're very cautious to open this door, as you can see it thumping and loud noises coming from the room.
And you open and up, and you open up the door, and it's Barry. Please tell me it's Barry.
Unfortunately, it's like even more scarier than Barry. But it just made me think that I haven't had this sort of experience from either 5 or 6, and I'm not even sure even in 4. Possibly towards the end of the game. But it's great to see it jump back to its kind of survival horror roots.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to playing the rest of this game.
Oh, yeah. And I've noticed it's quite got the bit of, like, I think according probably to the early MPD reports, is that not only Donkey Kong Country Returns on the 3DS, but all copies of like Resident Evil Revelations have actually sold pretty well in the month of May right now. I mean, I don't have the exact numbers, but I mean that's been what's been kind of been calculated right now early on as the actual numbers start to get released. But it's good that you're actually kind of enjoying this right now. I'm really, you know, aside from playing classic games on my Wii U, I've been wanting to kind of hopefully kind of pick this up since I missed it on the 3DS.
Yeah, and I noticed the sales numbers in the UK as well, and Revelations got into the top 10, thing in a fairly high position. It would be interesting to see a breakdown of which SKUs contributed the most out of that. But yeah, I would definitely recommend picking up Revelations, because I've yet to actually even start the Mercenaries Online mode.
That is always one of my favorite modes to actually kind of jump into, is just how chaotic it can be, and just something I kind of wish is, does it have a multiplayer function on there?
It definitely does.
It's okay, good.
It's not local multiplayer, but you can play Mercenaries mode online.
That's good. I mean, that's really good. I mean, that's something, one of the additions on the Resident Evil franchise that I really, really liked a lot. I mean, it was definitely kind of a I mean, we all with what was it with multiplayer and like Resident Evil. Obviously, you know, Capcom tried that with their exclusive, you know, PlayStation 2 titles. I remember what was it, Resident Evil Online. I can't think of the name, like the full name of the title, but those I always kind of felt like, yeah, it was kind of a step in a like a good foot in the door for like the series being online. But it never really kind of just grabbed my attention as much as anything like that. I just felt it was kind of clunky.
Nah, definitely. Yeah, it was good to see. Actually, Sam, I'm not sure if 4 introduced Mercenaries mode or it did, or if it was a more of a running side game before that. But Resident Evil 4 was the first time I played Mercenaries mode, and quite a nice niche mode, which makes a very different experience from the standard adventure mode.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, and I'm... Yeah, I mean, for those out there who are kind of bothered by like the lack of games on their Wii U's right now, I mean, I know we can get a little bit tired of playing, you know, the same eShop title or the same Virtual Console title we played years before, but pick up Resident Evil Revelations. I think Lewis has gave its early stamp of approval right now.
Oh, most definitely. I'll give it a proper delayed review once I've actually finished the game, but it's looking very positive so far.
That's good, good. Now, we definitely want to kind of go through, like, this little bit right here, like, for our, you know, listeners out there. But, you know, before we jump into the, our little, well, what Lewis dubbed our E3 predictions game show, hopefully we can actually put a little bit of a, you know, Price is Right theme on there to actually start everything out, you know, to make everything really good. But, there was just a little, quite a bit of news that came out, whatever, before the last time we were on the podcast, and... You know, I'll try and get through this a little bit quickly, but the first item on here was Sega released a worldwide trailer for Sonic Lost World, and the first bit that I can actually say from right now, it reminds me a hell of a lot of Mario Galaxy, and that is a good thing. I mean, what did the rest of you thought about the trailer, which I know was a fairly short trailer, around like a minute and a half, 2 minutes?
I thought so too, and I think that, at least in my eyes, that was a the perfect marketing way, the perfect way to market the video. Sonic is always going to be, you know, a classic character, so he's always going to sell. But combining that with the Galaxy-esque type environment that you see in the video, I think that will bring the hardcore Nintendo fans that maybe, you know, have given up on Sonic because he's not an original Nintendo character, or just are not, you know, real up to date on it. I think it was just a really good way to market this, and I can't wait to see more, whether at E3 or shortly after, or whenever they decide to show us more. I think this is one that's going to be a pretty popular game when it comes out.
Oh yeah, I agree as well. And you know, Sonic has seen better days. Obviously, I mean, we've gotten past the point where, you know, he was a werewolf. So I mean, those are things I try to forget.
Yeah, no, it is good to see a Sonic trailer focus on the actual Sonic gameplay instead of trying to shoehorn some almost serious-esque story aspects. Got Sonic turning into the Werehog, and we have the almost, hopefully, unforgettable Shadow the Hedgehog, where he's wielding actual guns. And the 2006 Sonic, lest we forget, where I believe it looked quite good in its initial trailer, but the game focused, well, it was a bad game, but it also focused so much on story. Really awful scene where Sonic at least tries to make out with a human girl.
I try to make sure that's pushed out of my mind as much as possible, and try to. But the guys over at Game Grumps who do Let's Plays, they have like they were doing a Let's Play of like the entire game. I think it's up to like maybe 50 episodes that are 10 minutes long, whatever, of them going through the game. And just the frustration they have with the glitches and just the story. And you need to see it is on there. Just go to Game Grumps Sonic 2006, like Sonic 2006, and just, if you have time, you know, or weekend, go through all the episodes. It's quite entertaining. And, but I mean, but back on Sonic Lost World or whatever, I mean, this does kind of look like a bit of a return to form, just kind of mixing in a little bit of what Mario Galaxy established with this formula of kind of, you know, as far as, like, if I can explain this, is that, yeah, it's not necessarily a pseudo-3D world, but, you know, just has that rotating areas as far as that you can just travel on, kind of, and it looks like something that harkens back to, you know, those planetoids that you'd be, like, you know, jumping around with as Mario in the Galaxy series. But, I mean, this is, you know, obviously the first of three exclusive Sonic titles that we're going to be getting on, you know, both the Wii U and the 3DS. The third one, which has not been announced, was confirmed by Sega that it's not going to be arriving in 2013. So, hopefully we see something about that at E3 coming up. But moving on a little bit more on the news, but Miiverse got an update, and I believe Scott actually wrote a little bit about this more. Could you tell us a little bit more?
Well, basically, it's a pretty simple update, but it just allows you on mobile phones and on like a web browser, it allows you to do things like mobile posts from your phone. You know, I don't have it up here in front of me. I should have pulled that up here recently, but there are definitely some other new things that are added on there. One thing I did make a mistake in the article, and Mike as a poet pointed it out to us, that you cannot access it on the 3DS or 3DS browser. It's actually blocked on that browser, as well as the Wii U browser, which makes sense on the Wii U. Why would you need to access it via the browser on there? But I think it is interesting that it's not accessible on the 3DS browser, and I don't know if that's hinting that there's a potential update coming up sooner than we think that might give us Miiverse on there. I guess that's something we'll have to wait and see, and hopefully we'll see something about that on E3. But let's see here. I'm trying to pull it up here real quick, and I am not seeing the article here. Oh, with the newest update, you can now post directly from your PC within the communities. You can view your friends and followers and comment on their posts. And you're also able to update your profile and Miiverse settings. So quite a few little tweaks there, and I think that it's a good start, and I think that we should probably see something a lot more in the future. The only thing I wish they would do for the mobile phones is, instead of making us go to Miiverse.Nintendo.net, make it an actual application. But I would bet once they get everything ironed out, we'll probably see that too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. It was like, I believe they mentioned, I mean, last E3, that they were going to have actual applications that you would have on your desktop and on mobile phones as well. So, I mean,
Yeah, they definitely mentioned the mobile apps last E3. Although what is quite nice is that if you have an iOS device, if you save the website itself as a web clip, where it actually has its own app icon. So not all sites do this, but some do. So it looks like you do have the Miiverse app if you follow the steps needed to set it as an app icon. It comes up with the little Miiverse person on the white background instead of a little snapshot of the webpage.
Yeah, I did see that, because that's one little thing that, like, on iOS that they would allow you to do. Like, say, if you did not download, like, the IGN app or Joystick app or something like that, if you're on their homepage and if you just click like a certain button on there, you're able to add that to your homepage. But again, it's like, why use that? Go through Safari or through like Firefox or Chrome, where you can just get the official app for free. Which I believe, you know, Nintendo is in the planning state, like, you know, already past the planning stage. It's just a matter of like when they're going to release it, and obviously it's going to be probably a future app, maybe on the 3DS.
Yeah, I think it will come as one of the built-in features for the 3DS instead of being just enabled on the browser when they do enable it.
And it'll probably be one of my most used apps on there on my phone, because I just love the different drawings and just, you know, the quotes on there, whatever I get on Miiverse, and just that's one big thing, that the big selling point that Nintendo has for probably the Wii U right now is their Miiverse community, and I'm just glad it's going to be growing right now. And terrible segue I'm going to do right now. Other announcements that Nintendo did today is, and I'm combining both of these, I believe this was a Nintendo Japan-only direct that, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, which they announced that an extended battery for the gamepad, chargeable batteries and cradles for Wiimotes, and a white Wii U Premium in Japan.
That was a Japan-only only Nintendo Direct, you're correct, and I don't see why they wouldn't bring those over here. I mean, the white Wii U Premium, that I could see either way, you know, half of one, you know, half of another, but with the extended battery, I think it's wanted so much. I would guess that probably will make its way over here and to the United Kingdom and so on. I don't know what the difference is going to be between, like, you know, a Japanese battery and a North American battery, if there's a difference at all.
I believe in the article you mentioned that it increased the battery life, you know, quite, you know.
Oh, it's huge.
Exponentially. It's like around, what was it, 5 to 8 hours, or...
Yeah, I think that's the one. So it almost doubles the battery.
Yes,
which is amazing.
Yeah, a step up from the mere 3 hours that we get from using our gamepads.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'm wondering about it, because I didn't actually see what it looks like, and I'm not sure if they even showed the actual Wii U gamepad battery in the Direct. There is a picture of a battery here that I posted, but I'm not sure exactly if it's the Wii U gamepad battery. I'm guessing it is, but it doesn't really show us if it's going to add any additional depth to the controller. I don't think that would even make a difference on the Wii U gamepad, though, if it added a little.
Actually, I do have some information on that front.
Oh, cool.
Apparently, it doesn't add any bulge at all to the back of the gamepad.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, in fact, apparently the actual size, the physical size of the battery is the same physical size as the current battery, which is quite odd, especially from my history of changing batteries in phones.
Oh, yeah, I've worked in the cell phone industry for quite a while previously, and those extended life batteries were just awful with your phones. So,
but yeah, it definitely doesn't require a different back to go onto the back of the gamepad.
Very nice, very nice. And the new Wiimote controllers batteries too. The fact that you can actually charge them, you know, either in the dock, and it also appears that you can charge them via like a USB or an adapter directly into a wall outlet. That's kind of a cool thing on the go, especially if you're at a friend's house or whatnot, and you're gaming. You don't have to take your whole dock and everything with you.
Yeah, I believe there's a new dock or like a little port on the back where the battery is on the back of the Wiimote that you can actually. It's the same kind of port that we'd use for like the back of like a 3DS or a Wii U gamepad. So I really do.
Yeah, it looks like the only downside to the Wiimote is that each one has its individual charger. So the benefit of the dock is, of course, you can charge four controllers at once potentially. With this, you would have to have four different adapters and possibly a surge protector to plug them into. So it could take up a lot of space. But on the go, I think it's perfect.
I think so.
Yeah, I was a bit confused with the initial setup at first, because they sell the backs and the cradles separately, but it did seem to make a bit more sense when I kind of thought about how it would lay out in a real room. So I guess you buy a back for each Wii remote you have, but you would only necessarily have to buy the one cradle, and you would just swap the controllers as needed. Because in a real-life scenario, you probably rarely find that all your controllers have almost no battery. You do get advance warning when the batteries are starting to decline. So I guess you would have to, you know, keep an eye on it. But when like batteries start hitting under 50%, you make sure that controller rests on the cradle when you're not using the system and rotate them around.
Totally. I mean, and I really do hope these come to the States, because, you know, God knowingly, I really need this for my Wii U gamepad right now. There's too many times where I don't have any outlets close to me on my couch, so I have to, like, surge over probably to, like, the left and just plug into an outlet and just play either, like, Nintendo Land or Super Metroid or any eShop title at a very odd angle where I'm, you know, as it's charging. So, and hopefully when they come over, those do eventually get over here, they probably come at a decent price, I hope so. But, but when we mentioned about the YU, the white Wii U Premium, try saying that three times fast. GameStop had mentioned that they are recalling the white Wii U Basic SKU. Does this hint at Nintendo possibly just discontinuing the basic unit?
See, I'm not sure about this one. I've got a friend that works in the electronics department at a Walmart, and he's works directly with all the gaming consoles and the games themselves and so on. And I had asked him about this too, and at least on the Walmart side, and there has been no memos that he's seen or heard of at this point for Walmart doing the same thing. Now, whether or not they would release it this early, I don't know. So it's very possible that it could be happening, you know, throughout the whole United States or North America. But he hasn't heard anything about it yet, and it's very possible that this could just be a GameStop decision. We know that Nintendo's not discontinuing the white Wii U everywhere. I think it was I forget who it was exactly, but somebody from Nintendo had said that in the United Kingdom it would not, or maybe it was Germany, but it would not be discontinued there. There's no plans whatsoever there. That could be because it's selling pretty decent there. But when I brought this up and I talked to a few people about, you know, just this itself, and the overall thoughts on this seem to be that nobody really cares that the white U, if the white U does go away, the white Wii U, because it's for $50 more, you get a game, you get a few extras, you get more memory. So why not spend the extra $50 and get everything else and that you'll have to potentially buy later on, as you start gaming more and more on the console. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to happen, you know, worldwide or throughout the entire United States or just GameStop or where that goes, but it'll be interesting to see how that happens. And actually, I was just going to throw in real quick, too, that there was the rumor, we're going to be talking predictions, there was the rumor that the, or it was Michael Patcher, it wasn't really a rumor, it was his thoughts.
Oh, our old friend that, Michael Patcher.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk sometimes, but he's right a lot of times too. Unfortunately, depending upon the situation.
Not disputing that. I mean, the guy obviously has, you know, knowledge and talent on there. Just part of me feels like he just likes to you know poke the bear a lot. As far as that, to call is the Nintendo Defense Force. You know, something I try not to be a part.
Exactly.
Something I try not to be a part of. You know, on there because I feel like it's too fanboyish. But yeah, he likes to do those things.
Well, if his newest, I guess, prediction is correct, that the Wii U will be getting a price drop of about $50, if that's correct, it would make sense for them to discontinue the basic bundle and only release the deluxe model, because the deluxe model essentially becomes the same price as the basic model now. And if they bring the white Wii U to the North America and abroad, we still get this choice of white or black for the console, and we get basically everybody is on an even playing field as far as what's included in the box, you know, minus any special editions that might come in the future or in-store extras like Walmart did at their launches and so on. But if he's correct with his prediction, I could see the white Wii U basic collection just disappearing altogether, unless Nintendo wants to sell that $150 cheaper. But I don't know if, I mean, do you guys think that would be a good idea to knock that down even more and possibly lose more money off of that? I don't know.
It just depends on what their other competition is going to be doing as far as price, because, you know, it's quite possible that both, you know, the PS4 and the Xbox One could probably be retailing around, I'm just throwing out there, maybe they're definitely going to be launching with two different SKUs, I know that. I'm just going to give, that's a given, uh-huh. But, probably seeing this being...
I've heard around $4.99 approximately.
I've heard that, but if they priced it around, like, the sweet spot around, like, maybe $400 or something like that, I mean, if there was some way they got it at $300, which is... I
don't see that
happening. Yeah, with all the bells and whistles in each of these consoles, I doubt that happens, especially with a Blu-ray player. But then again, you could find Blu-ray players for under $100 these days. It would sound smart right now. It's all going to depend as far as what their lineup's going to be probably this coming fall. And if they do underwhelm us as far as, like, you know, yes, we have these couple good titles, but not enough, then I would probably be up there saying, like, you know, a price drop needs to be kind of imminent for that. And if they're going to have to succeed like that, I mean, yeah, a price drop would have to be imminent.
You know, I could also see them launching if they were to drop the basic edition, I could see the deluxe edition dropping down to become the basic, essentially, and then adding a new SKU that might have maybe an actual Wii U controller in the box, maybe some Wiimotes, or maybe add extras like that maybe aren't necessary, But, you know, a friend of mine, actually the same friend who works at the Walmart, he brought up a good point with his. He hasn't bought his Wii U yet. And part of the reason he's done that is because he only has the older Wii remotes that do not have the Motion Plus on them. And in his eyes, he doesn't want to buy the Wii U yet and then have to spend more money on the Motion Plus and so on from there. So he's actually maybe taking a more wait-and-see type approach on it. So I could possibly see that happening in the future to add those extras. Maybe not, but, you know, that's a prediction.
Maybe that, or bundle it with a couple games or something like that, or preload it with some digital title or something like that. Anything that could probably, you know, just entice consumers to actually pick up a console that, you know, which I would say probably after the Xbox One reveal, I felt like, wow, there's probably one Wii U console sitting somewhere in a Walmart right now, just a single tier down its, you know, down its box, just saying, like, please buy me, please. Lewis, what would you have to say?
I think Nintendo's going to wait to the other consoles' prices are confirmed before they say either way what they're going to do with their SKUs. However, what is that the Nintendo of Japan did announce a bundle for Nintendo Land, which comes with a Wii Remote Motion Plus.
Ah, I did not see that.
Yeah, and so what they could do is chuck a Wii Remote Motion Plus, as it were, into the premium box. However, we are getting to a point where you're getting a lot of different bits of plastic, as it were, in this one startup box. Because I know the premium edition alone, obviously you get the console, you get the stand for the console, you get the gamepad, you get the cradle for the gamepad, you get the power supply for the Wii U, you get the power supply for the gamepad. And I actually had the Zombie U bundle, so I had a Pro Controller in there as well as Zombie U.
I still need to pick up a Pro Controller.
Yeah. And if chucking the Wii Remote in there as well as the sensor bar, thinking about it, that could be quite overwhelming for a potential casual person who picks up this new console. That's a lot of things to set up.
It is.
That's true. And you know, you're right. I mean, that box would be pretty large. Not that it wasn't already, but pretty large, and it could potentially get a little bit heavy there. But, you know, with that being more of maybe garnered toward more the gamer person, not maybe the casual person, I think it could work. But I mean, I think you're right though. I mean, until they start throwing all those extras at us, I think that we'll probably see that after the actual launch of the other two, or reveal of the other two, with pricing and what's actually included in the box, what's not included in the box. And I think that's where we'll see a little bit more of the battles and special editions coming out between them. And so on from there. I mean, if you know, Nintendo plays it right and they do, like, you know, a Zelda Deluxe Edition when the Zelda games release, or even like Luigi Deluxe or whatever, depending upon the games that come out. Obviously, those are going to be, you know, for the collectors and not necessarily the casual gamers. But things like that could definitely you know, battle, you know, just an Xbox One or PS4 all by itself and sell out in no time. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes when that time comes.
Obviously, and, you know, and to kill that time, obviously, I mean, we're going to be getting E3 demos at, like, you know, at Best Buy right now from June 12th and 15th. And this, of course, is going to be all the titles that Nintendo is going to be announcing at E3. They're going to be demoed at various, or participating, Best Buy stores, and I believe in U.S. and Canada. I'm not sure if Canada has any Best Buy.
And Canada.
Canada, yes.
Yep, and they increased it to 110 stores instead of just the original 100.
And I so happen to be close by one of those stores, so I'll be able to actually try out, hopefully, whatever, there's another one of these new titles that I've... Well, get the E3 experience right now, because, sadly, viewers right now, none of us from Infendo are able to attend E3 this year. I know everybody would be disappointed to get, you know, up close and personal and see all these different titles, get these hands-on impressions, meet the bigwigs, maybe pimp out Infendo a little bit to the other people and sell this thing so we're stinking rich. I don't know, maybe thousands of dollars, something like that, but I digress. But, I mean, all these demos are going to be available on these set dates on June 12th and 15th, but they're not going to be available all day. They're going to be only, like, playable at certain times at these E3 situations. I feel like that's going to spell a catastrophe right now, as in people are going to be rushing in to play these things. And
I agree, definitely. Well, and the thing that worries me is a lot of these places that they're going to be shown at are probably bigger metropolitan areas, so they're not necessarily going to be the slowest locations, and they're going to have a lot of people there. So in the short amount of time that they'll actually be active, I think that there'll probably just be so many people there that unless you basically camp out in the store earlier in the day, it's going to be hard to get so close. I mean, for me, the closest are probably going to be in either Bloomington or Schaumburg, Illinois, which is a couple hours away, or Greenwood, Indiana, which is near Indianapolis, Indiana, and that's, you know, 3 hours away from me. So
you would drive 3 hours to possibly play, you know, the new Mario Kart. I could see that happening.
Possibly. I mean, if I did it, I'd probably go north and do like the Grand Rapids, Michigan one, just because I made that drive plenty of times in a past career, and it's an easier drive, but still 3 hours just to drive and maybe get a glimpse at the games, get close enough to actually see them. It's tough. If there's one right here, I would be there. No worries whatsoever. Even if it was, you know, close by, but 3 hours is a tough one.
I'm picturing you, since there's these time limits, I guess, probably certain times, whatever, you get there at the nick of time, and you're trying to play this, and security is just dragging you away, probably just wanting to play you have the Wii gamepad in tow, and it just ripped out, and you're like, oh, wow, I have a new gamepad, thanks.
I'll be laying on the ground throwing a temper tantrum, pounding my fist against the floor.
obviously, Lewis is not going to... I know this is... not much as relevant to you guys over in the UK right now, but would you think this probably would create, you know, a bit of a hectic experience just having these at just a few days and just for a few hours, not all day?
No, I definitely think it's going to generate a huge buzz. Fortunately, obviously, my nearest participating Best Buy store is a very long swim away.
You can do it. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah, that's the Nintendo dedication right there. Yeah, I think that the store's going to be absolutely crowded. I'm not in terms of getting footfall and getting customers into the store, which I assume is Best Buy's vested interest in this partnership, I'm not sure if it's going to be a great idea or absolutely backfire with just having to have extra staff called in place for crowd control during this time. But it's definitely going to generate buzz, and this story will be heard in regular media outlets, I imagine, the attention these Best Buys will get from these crowds of customers, and I can imagine these crowds kind of trailing around other stores in a similar fashion to a launch day event when the story actually comes out to find out what is the new game everyone's excited to, you know, leave home with today or go home with today. They will find out it's actually just a load of rabid Nintendo fans waiting to actually just play the next thing that they'll get a chance to purchase, hopefully by the end of the year.
Obviously, yeah, and, you know, one of these things is, like, I'm just great to actually play these demos and get kind of hands-on experience right now, and that, I mean, obviously one of the few titles I can't wait to see on there are, you know, Wind Waker HD, and, of course, hopefully the next Smash Brothers or Mario Kart. But, you know, what good are these demos right now, especially if still we don't know which games are going to be out on the floor, which, of course, brings us to the highlight and special portion of our show, our E3 Predictions Game Show. I'm going to make a little game out of it, basically, between, you know, Lewis and Scott here, you know, and kind of being the moderator here right now. So, to start off right now, we're going to start off with the new 3D Mario. Question for both you guys. Will this new 3D Mario be out this year? Scott, go.
I'm going to say no, because this is the year of Luigi. So unless Luigi is a huge focus in this game, I don't look for it to be out until early 2014.
Lewis?
And I'm going to say it will be out this year. That's as in this calendar year instead of what Nintendo may try and pull as the fiscal year. I reckon it will be out before Christmas.
Good clarification.
Yes. And my ruling on here, I'm at the rule with Lewis on this one. I do believe this is going to be out this calendar year. Basically in the fact that, you know, to kind of beat this into the ground is that, yes, Nintendo needs games to actually sell their new console, and what better one to do is a 3D Mario. Yes, it's the year of Luigi, right now, his 30th anniversary appearance, you know, as a character, but it's getting to that point right now, I feel like, yes, Luigi's going to be getting the short end of the stick here, but who knows, maybe he's actually featured out there, probably in some prominent way, probably, you know, who knows, this could be a co-op, a a co-op style like Mario Galaxy title would, which, you know, brings us to the next question. Will this be Galaxy 3? Scott.
This is a tough one. I could go either way on this, but I'm going to take the easy way out on this one, and since it's a 3D Mario, I'm going to say that it's going to be Galaxy 3D.
And Lewis.
I'm going to say it's not going to be Galaxy 3. It's going to be something completely new, basically. Something we haven't seen before.
Again, I think I'm in a kind of a combination of both of you guys. I feel like they're going to leap off from the ideas that they kind of had left off from Galaxy 2. Well, even though Galaxy 2 was a creation of stuff, of ideas that were left out in the first Galaxy. But I don't think this is going to be a numbered sequel. I feel like this is going to be something different as far as it. I mean, who knows? It could be a Super Mario universe, something like that. You're going from Super Mario Brothers to Land to World to Galaxy. Where else to go? I mean, Super Mario Infinite, or, you know, to the bounds of time. I mean, I'm just being stupid at the moment right now, but I mean, this is kind of a draw for me between you guys at the moment. But I believe this will be a completely different title, but I also feel like it's going to have those things that leaps off from Galaxy. Next question, which I think we kind of dabbed in a little bit. Will this have multiplayer? Lewis.
I think it's actually going to be almost a multiplayer-focused game to make it a bit different. I think you'll be able to play the game at least of two people at playing full roles instead of a Galaxy-esque help out. So yeah, I think you'll have multiple Mario characters being able to run around thanks to the gamepad screen.
Scott?
I'm actually going to somewhat agree with Lewis on this one. I think that if they do not make the actual storyline of the game multiplayer, you're at least going to have a multiplayer aspect somewhere in you know, the side games or and so on that are on there. But if we're talking about only the main storyline, I think they will. I think that we will see Luigi featured as a player, possibly with the option, especially since it's the year of Luigi, with the option to make player one choose between Mario or Luigi, so they can choose, so Mario doesn't always have to be the main player on there. But, you know, just a want that I would like to see is kind of bring back the whole, depending upon what the storyline is, I should say, but bring back kind of how we had it in Super Mario Bros. 2 and allow us to play with Princess Peach, Toadstool, whatever you want to call her, Toad, and maybe bring in some other characters to play as too during the game. But multiplayer, I think there will be multiplayer.
And guess what? I agree with both of you on this case. I mean, I feel like there's going to be some form of co-op or multiplayer into this title. And, you know, like, and I kind of agree with you, Scott, as far as, you know, bringing something back that had, you know, what we had with, like, you know, well, it wasn't necessarily multiplayer, but it was, you know, the ability to play as different characters on there, be it, you know, a Toad, Peach, Luigi, or Mario. As far as a multiplayer focus on there, I mean, this could go any way. I mean, it wouldn't seem as innovative to say, like, oh, here's, you get to play as two different characters at the same time. But obviously, with Nintendo's, you know, way to kind of create unique experiences for each of their published titles is that how can they get around to this as far as, like, you know, expanding it to being just, oh, it's just co-op. But something I feel is like what they kind of introduced with Galaxy being with the two-player mode where you're able to, you know, shoot star bits. But I feel like they could probably go off from that and make it more of an immersive experience where you're just not just sitting in the Wii mode just shooting star bits just for the hell of it, which I always did a lot, whatever, just kind of annoying my friends. But I mean, yeah, the possibilities are endless for that one. Now, an easy one on here I'm sure we can all agree with. Will this game have off-TV play?
Absolutely. If they don't, I think they're taking a step backwards on it.
Lewis?
I agree, yeah. I think it will have off-TV support.
Yeah, I think that was an easy one on there. I believe it's kind of a given that this will probably have off-TV play. I mean, I think that's probably the same way as far as any of these other Nintendo-published titles that are being introduced. I mean, Pikmin 3 will be having off-TV play, and I believe, you know, Wonderful 101 will be having off-TV play. So we have that. Another easy one, will this be one of the Best Buy demos? Which kind of seems...
I'm going to say playable demo, no. I think that if we see it at E3, and I think we will see it at E3, I think it will be a... like some sort of trailer for it, maybe a little bit of gameplay on screen, but I don't think it's going to be a playable demo at this time. and that kind of goes along with my thinking of that it's not going to be out this year. So I'm going to say no playable demo, but trailer and maybe some gameplay footage.
On to you, Lewis.
Okay, I'm going to go for a yes for the Best Buy demo. To go alongside my prediction of it coming out this year, I think they're going to want to get it into as many people's hands as possible to spread the news of the new 3D Mario.
I think it goes back to the out this calendar year portion of the game, and yes, I side with Lewis on this one, because I feel like this would be one of the more showcase titles that they'll have in the demo floor. I mean, obviously there'll be other showcase titles as well. This one will probably be head front there, and I think it'd just be kind of a costly mistake not to actually have this demoed in all these, either on E3 or the various, Best Buy, the participating Best Buy stores. Now, our final question on here is a little bit of, a curveball. Extra prediction. Basically, both of you give me, what's something that we haven't discussed on here, what you think will happen with this 3D Mario title. Lewis.
Okay. It kind of ties into a question I was asked before, but my extra prediction is going to be that it's going to be the first 3D Mario game which lets you play with at least four people, possibly five at the same time.
This is quite interesting. Scott, what would be your extra prediction?
Well, I mean, not my prediction, but I could actually see that where they bring kind of a party aspect into it. Maybe not Mario Party as a full, but bring kind of somewhat of that feel into it to allow multiplayer. But my actual prediction is going to be a much more open world concept with this game. I mean, I think that it's not going to have the RPG aspects, but when you're playing it and you're exploring, however they lay out the worlds or whatnot, kind of like somewhat like Super Mario Sunshine, where it's a lot more open to the player rather than finish a stage, move on to the next, and so on. I think it'll be a much more open concept, and I would love to see certain areas have a much higher difficulty, where you have to beat a certain portion of the game to advance in that area, or you could tough it out and you could maybe beat that area at a much without a certain item or whatnot, but make it so much tougher, which would allow us to do various quests, beat the game without special items or special openings or whatnot. So that just a more open world.
My extra prediction to kind of offset both of you is that I feel like this is going to, the prediction is what we saw from the jump from Sunshine to Galaxy was beyond bounds to the point where, it was making, Galaxy look like the true successor to Mario 64. And I feel like this is going, this could possibly go in a similar fashion of something, a little oddball of what Super Mario Sunshine did with the flood pack, the flood water pack. And not to sense that, that this would eliminate probably, the classic, without backpack levels that which I loved was my favorite part about Sunshine, because it kind of took away a bit of an item that I was a bit hit or miss, in feelings towards. But in this case right now, I think this could be a little bit more open world. Who knows? We could probably see a more of a bigger hub world that we have, that we've seen previously, but not in Galaxy 2, for instance, which was more of a world map, and you had a hub world where you could access it, and kind of a little sandbox area to kind of play around and such. But in this case, I think it's going to be a little bit more, take that open world concept and kind of expand it a little bit more. Who knows? We could probably have an open world, area, in a GTA sense, where Mario goes on to do different tasks and within levels or without, outside of these levels. But it gets me more excited knowing that probably, what's cooking up at, Nintendo Tokyo, EAD in Tokyo right now, of what they're going to be doing, and, all these possibilities that we've gone through in this game show portion right now are quite good, yet it's a matter of, are we going to be right on these? Now, the next title on our list right now is the new Mario Kart. And, of course, like with the last title, is this going to be a two-parter. Is this going to be titled Mario Kart 8, and will it be out this calendar year? Lewis.
Okay. I actually think it will be called Mario Kart 8. Simply because, because of 7, which came before it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to at least follow, or at least attempt to keep this numbered fashion for at least another game before they do something crazy. In terms of will it release this year, I think definitely. I think there's a stronger chance of this this particular prediction being stronger than the 3D Mario game. But yeah, I definitely think this will be worldwide by the end of the year.
And Scott?
You know, this one I am going to agree. I think that this one will make an appearance this year. I think this is one that will really highlight the system here. With this one, I think it will join. It will become Mario Kart 8. The only way they'll change the name from 8 to, you know, a specific title is if it so drastically strays from the Mario Kart concept. So I think that you know, it will definitely be 8. So yeah, definitely.
Kind of a draw on this one. I do believe. I personally don't think it'd be called Mario Kart 8. I feel like they'll probably do a different surname to it, whatever, in the sense of what they did with Double Dash. That is, I feel like it could probably maybe do something as a, like, you know, a different kind of gameplay mechanic to kind of mix things up, because, you know, one thing with the Mario Kart series is it kind of needs, you know, a bit of a... It needs a bit of a jolt right now to kind of stop feeling samey as far as, like, you know, the usual 2D slash 3D Mario games that we've been getting for the last 4 years. Will it be out this year? Yeah. I feel like this coming up year right now is going to be quite big for Nintendo if they release all these titles in a sparse little bit of time in the calendar year before, you know, upcoming holiday season. And, yeah, I think this will be definitely demoed and possibly, you know, definitely out this calendar year. Easy question for everybody right now, and I'm sure all of us will probably agree with this one. Will this be off TV play? Scott?
I think there will be. I think we're going to see two things with off-TV play. One, obviously just a basic off-TV play where you can just sit on your couch, put your feet up, and play on the gamepad while, you know, somebody else is watching TV. I think that will definitely happen. However, I can also see something similar to Zombie U, where somebody else is on the screen and they're dropping, you know, they're dropping different traps and so on from there. Maybe you know, knock out a bridge up in the future or up in the up a little ways and so on. So kind of a player versus player mode where the off-screen portion is really somebody trying to stop you from finishing the course. But actual off-TV play for in-game, actual storyline, whatever, absolutely.
You know, I agree with both of you, but I'm just excited with Scott in this one just because the little when he mentioned as far as the Zombie U details on there. I mean, I could see that as far as when you... way that you're aiming weapons or you use the gamepad to aim at the screen, whatever, for, you know, be it if you're throwing banana peels or even blue shells, red shells, or green shells. I mean, there's all sorts of things, whatever. I think that each of these tiles that we're talking about, you know, from Nintendo that have to kind of take advantage of the gamepad to make it, you know, is this a worthwhile experience to actually, you know, have that second screen on there. I mean, what we had seen with the DS, whatever, it was just, you know, quite different as far as what traditional handhelds were. It wasn't a while when title started having good use with, you know, the second screen in far as their game, like, for the gameplay. And with this one, I feel like this could possibly do something like that. Who knows? Maybe you could probably be an item, whatever, where you draw on the stylus on the trap, whatever, where you can lay a trap or something like that. Or you end up making alternate routes, whatever, like making a mark on there where to turn. I mean, it's all out there, and, you know, this is one game in particular I hope takes really good use of the gamepad and what it has to offer. The next question that we have here for both our contestants is something that I did not really expect on here, but I can blame Lewis for probably putting this on here. Will this have, and bear with me, have more than 4 players compatible, as in a decent online? Lewis.
Okay. The reason for the 5-player question on this is similar to how the currently released Sonic Racing Transformed is, where it allows a 4-player split screen on the TV, whereas the gamepad screen is the 5th player. So I think Mario Kart is going to take a leaf out of this book and enable 5-player local races with the 4-player split screen on the TV and the 5th player playing on the gamepad.
And Scott.
I'm going to agree with that. I think that with the Wii U, at least, I think that for any racing game that comes out on it, that might become a standard now. So I would say yes.
You know, we all want tension on this, like, you know, game show right now, but I agree with both of you on this case right now. I mean, obviously there's going to be probably, you know, a good online mechanic that was, you know, started off pretty well with, you know, Mario Kart Wii, which I could go say is, you know, probably the best online title that that console had. I mean, it goes to show as far as, you know, the lagginess and, you know, brokenness that we had with Brawl and its online component, which, you know, was nice to have, but it was far from perfect. Very far. I mean, there was many times when I'd be playing as a different character and I'd have, yes, I end up in a match with three different Peaches and, you know, they were beating me into submission to the point where I couldn't do anything because of the lag, so... And I wasn't even the host server on that point. So, and I was running on very good college Wi-Fi at the point. So, and you know, and funny thing that you mentioned about as far as like, you know, Sonic All-Stars Racing, which brought to the next one, will this have other characters such as Sonic join the Mario Kart cast? Scott,
this is a tough one for me. I would say normally, because Sonic has his own Wii U racing game, I would say normally probably not. However, with the partnership between Sega and Nintendo, I think that we might make an appearance as an unlockable character in here. I mean, we saw in Sonic All-Star Racing, we saw like things like Wreck-It Ralph, we saw Danica Patrick in there. So why not throw a Sonic in?
Wait, Danica Patrick was in that?
She is, absolutely.
Well, was she?
Yeah.
I think that's the correct response to have when you hear that.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, which one was in there? I remember when somebody told me that Skrillex was, well, he was in a voice, but he made, like, a cameo in there in Fix-It Felix's, like, bachelor pad, whatever, the dance party at the beginning of the movie. But Danica Patrick's in that?
Yep, she's in there. I haven't played with her too much. We just unlocked her not too long ago. I played it a lot when we first got it, but
she's in the game. Wait,
no, she's in Sonic All-Star Racing. She's an unlockable driver.
Okay. Oh. I was thinking I'm getting things mixed up here. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, she's not in Wreck-It Ralph. No.
I was about to say, I'm like, why is she in Wreck-It Ralph?
Great movie, but I don't think she would have fit in there. But yeah, I mean, if you're gonna see people like that in a Sonic All-Star Racing, why not bring Sonic on over?
And what do you have to say, Lewis?
Okay, finally introducing some conflict into this feature.
Oh, boy.
I don't think Sonic's going to be entering Mario Kart anytime soon. I think the reverse might be possible. If there's in the future Sonic racing game, Mario might join in. But in terms of third-party characters joining Mario Kart, I don't think it's going to happen quite yet. I think it's going to stick to the fairly tried-and-true Mario cast. I don't think they'll be branching out to any of their other first-party franchises either.
Part of me wants Sonic to be in this next one to have, like, you know, what I feel like is with this collaboration that Sonic or Sega has with Nintendo right now for the three-game Sonic deal, which is, I felt like would be that rumored idea of, like, you know, that third title would be, oh, you know, Sonic and Mario characters all together one, like, racing title, but of course, since I still believe that this title is coming out this year, that would go against the fact that, you know, the third unannounced Sonic game is going to be not making here in 2013, but in 2014. I'm neutral as far as that, but I really do hope Sonic has on there, so... Yeah, I'm kind of going against both of you on this one, so, I mean, feel free to just, you know, to go against me and just, you know, hang me by it, but... I mean, anything's possible in there. I mean, having Sonic in the last Brawl title, still amazes me to this day. I mean, just to have something like that, you know, it blew my mind. It really did. I mean, you know, given what we grew up with, you know, Sonic character versus, you know, Mario, like Mario as far as during the early, like the Genesis and Super Nintendo console wars. And, you know, to come here right now, if you told that to a kid back then, it would probably just blow his mind.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Obviously, a quick question here. Will we have a Best Buy demo?
I'm going to say yes. One, because I believe the game will be out this year. But two, what better game, other than Smash Brothers, to have as a Best Buy demo? You get, you know, two friends or two people in a similar town. They shared their Nintendo IDs with each other. And here they are. They're playing this game side by side, racing against each other. At a Best Buy location, they build up this camaraderie, and they, you know, one person beats the other. They can't wait for the rematch, and they carry that over to, you know, they go home they friend each other with or on wherever they're at, they friend each other on the Wii U console in the Miiverse, and you know, once the game comes out, they pick up where they left off, they continue the battles, the races, and eventually, you know, they become friends and so on from there. So it's a perfect story, and I think we will see it.
And yourself, Lewis?
I actually don't think it's going to show up.
Ooh.
I think they're going to... Yeah. I think they're going to try and keep things simple. I think they're going to keep to one-player games with certain goals or certain time limits, so people can either choose a couple or they can get a nice rotation going. I think the problem with introducing Mario Kart into this very busy day is people want to keep on playing Mario Kart, and the queue will just keep on growing, as it were. So I think they're going to want these kind of chunk size experiences that people can try out. So I'm going to actually think or predict that they're going to drop Mario Kart for the Best Buy demos.
Yeah, this is a tough one to side with between you guys, but I think I'm siding with Scott on this one, knowingly, because
USA.
I mean, I like what you're...
USA.
Oh, boy. And, it's...
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm not going to play it if it's turned up.
Is that a threat? But, no, I mean, Scott brings up a good... But, no, Lewis, you brought up a good point as far as, you know, how, you know... They with these demos, with the short time that they have on there, you know, do they want those bite-sized, you know, gameplay experiences for all these like, users to have them here? But with Scott, it's like, what perfect kind of a party title that you would have to get people on there, you know, if it's a two-player, you know, demo, just as Mario Kart. You know, something to experience a little bit more on there and just to show what the new Mario Kart is capable with, give it out to that audience to show what this console is a bit more capable of. And, you know, it seems probably like that better title is to have out there on the demo line. Now, the final question, our extra prediction. What not mentioned on here do you think will happen with the new Mario Kart title? Lewis.
Okay, my prediction is going to be that you can create your own tracks on the gamepad touchscreen. Basically, it's going to let you... draw a track on the screen, and you're going to see it generate, as it were, on the TV. And there's going to be a simple play button that you can jump straight in, or you can save a couple. You're also going to be able to swap these tracks with your Nintendo ID'd enabled friends.
What do you say, Scott?
Well, you know, I actually, that was one of the predictions on my list, so I'll check that one off and move on to another one. I think we're going to see a couple things here. One, we're probably going to see some new characters, whether it's Sonic or not. I think there'll be other Nintendo characters that they'll bring back. I would love to see second party characters. I don't know. I guess ever since Smash Brothers, I've kind of considered Sonic as a second party character because he kind of just fits in the Nintendo universe. You know, now that Sega is no more for the consoles, but. I would like to see some special unlockable characters, kind of like Link or Zelda or Samus, and you know, kind of bring the Smash Brothers characters into Mario Kart. Whether or not they do it, I don't know those characters specific, but I could see some additional characters in there. But also, kind of piggybacking off of sharing your tracks with your friends, online play. I think that you know, if you're sharing those tracks with your friends, the online experience I think will be much better now with the Wii U than it was with the Wii itself. I can remember, you know, the Wii itself, I was in a similar situation to you. There was lag, and it wasn't the best experience, but I think that we'll
yeah,
see better.
It was just a complete mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sorry, Scott, but I had to side on Lewis on this one, basically. I mean, I feel like they want to kind of keep everything separate as far as, like, you know, these Smash Brothers characters, which would have been, I'll bet a good idea. But I feel like they're just going to be, you know, keeping that separate, its own separate entity in the Smash Brothers series. I mean, the whole, obviously, you both of you agreed that there's going to be some form of a, you know, character or track creation
yeah.
that I think that could probably bode well for, you know, the touchscreen as well. I mean, obviously, I know Nintendo will have some bounds as far as what you can create on there in the gamepad, because I can definitely see some jerks on there. I can definitely see some jerks on the Miiverse, or well, on there probably just making these completely ridiculous tracks to the point where that are broken as hell, but it's... I mean, just imagine probably just somebody putting on there, like, you know, not rounded corners on tracks, but all just, like, you know... Well, not rounded corners, rounded tracks as far as, you know, when there's no corners, but in these, there are actual corners in the sense of, like, what is it, kind of like what you saw in Rainbow Road in the original Super Nintendo version, even though there were no barriers where you could stay in the track, but you could fall off.
Oh, yeah.
I could probably see a lot of people just doing that, just, you know, being, you know, pure masochists at this. I mean, that's it's opened the door on that one. So a word to you to that, Lewis, that round. Well, not that round, but that question.
Well, and also just to clarify with extra characters, I would love to see the like Smash Brothers like type characters in there. But I guess I more mean things like bring in like the Koopalings, maybe bring in like Shy Guys. I would love to see Wart make an appearance as an unlockable character. Things like that, you know, maybe more Mario characters, but more unlockable characters, more characters we haven't seen in the past, but I guess it's more of a want to see some of these other second-party characters come in.
You know, and I can see that as well. Who knows? We could probably... I mean, there's Nintendo's interest in DLC right now, as in, who knows, we could actually see characters that are, you know, introduced via that format. And, you know, speaking of Smash Brothers, that brings us to our Smash Brothers round here. And the first question off here, probably, in our prediction show is... Will the 3DS and Wii U versions be essentially the same game in a la Monster Hunter 3? Lewis.
Okay, I don't think they're going to be quite the same game as Monster Hunter 3 is. I do think they are going to connect to each other, as they suggested on the game's announcement. And I think it is going to be quite an important connection going back and forth. But I think they are going to have... different modes. I think they'll probably essentially have the same character roster, maybe one or two which are deliberately locked on each other versions, which after the initial connection both get unlocked. But yeah, I think they're going to be quite different games, and to give players a decent excuse to go out and buy both if they have both systems.
And Scott?
This one is a tough one. I'd say if we're going to take the easy way out here, yes, it will be the same. Maybe some additional features. Obviously, the 3DS would be 3D. The Wii U would not. So you'd have a little bit of a different experience on either of them. But I could also see them going the opposite way. So this one, I'm split on this one. Yes, I could see it being the same. But I could also see them going a different way, where the 3DS version has... one set of core characters, the Wii version has another set of core characters, and what I could see, and this is maybe predicting out too far, but when the 3DS has the Miiverse capability on there, instead of the just your friend code, or Nintendo ID, I should say, when they have the Nintendo IDs on there, I could see you kind of doing like almost a Pokemon type thing where you can share back and forth between. As you unlock somebody on one console, you can share it with your others and vice versa. Or maybe if you have, again, the Wii U and your friend has a 3DS or vice versa, you can kind of help each other out to unlock these other characters. So I'm going to go both ways on this one. I could see it either way.
Well, I'm going to have to say, you know, not really side of the one, but yes, I believe these are going to be two very different ones on here, because one of the rumors for the 3DS version on this one is that instead of, like, you know, full-fledged 3D characters that they're having there, they were thinking about using, you know, sprites for probably... This has been a rumor that's been going on there online that once the Namco Bandai was announced as one of the co-developers for the next Smash Brothers, is one rumor is that there's a possibility the 3DS version may just, instead of 3D-fledged polygons, but sprites. And that would be a direction I'd like to have to see on there, along with like the full-fledged HD version that you have on the Wii U, because it would kind of keep everything kind of separate on there. And like that, who knows? Like you said with Scott, this could be very interchangeable with, like, you know, the Pokemon titles, where you can share these characters. You can do all sorts of these things like this. And, you know, it's really, really interesting that how Nintendo's kind of playing this up to make sure that these are different experiences that make sure that people want to buy both instead of it being the same, what you have with, like, Monster Hunter 3, which I still have no... I mean, Is there a reason to buy both those versions exactly?
Well, there's no real reason to buy both unless you really need online play and you really need to also be able to take it around portably.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the sprite mode, that's one I'm kind of hoping they don't do as the main. It's something that I kind of frowned upon when I heard that. I would love to see it as like a retro mode where you can actually, you know, play in the retro mode and have that, you know, original Mario Kart sprite look to it and so on. But as an actual game, that I don't know. I think that if they went that route, I'm not sure how well it would do. I think there could be some issues with that.
You could. I'm just going on the fact that it's like they have to create these two different. I mean, these two different versions, you know, separate from each other to the point where, you know, you want to have both of them. And I feel like having just a full-fledged, you know, kind of graphically undervalued one that you have in the 3DS, and of course the graphical powerhouse that you'll have in HD on the Wii U. It just, if it's the same kind of same thing on there, I mean, I wouldn't have any reason to buy it unless it's a completely different game or completely different characters. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a set of characters that you have in the 3DS version that it's possible if you have that, you can transfer those characters to the Wii U version and vice versa. But I could see that possibly being backfiring because, you know, I could see an outrage over, you know, fans thinking like, you know, well, I want to play this character, but I don't want to buy a 3DS.
And I think that's where, again, it would bring the friends together in playing. So you don't want to buy the 3DS, but if you have a friend that already has a 3DS, then you could kind of trade off on and off with that person, potentially. I don't know how exactly they would do it. I'm sure they'd figure something out, but I could see that coming into play. But it's hard to tell exactly.
And, you know, well, I'm kind of segueing very bad at this one, is for the gamepad issue of this game, will we be able to create stages with the gamepad? Scott.
I am going to... I think we might be able to. I mean, I don't see... I think it would just be something kind of cool they would add into it. I'm not sure how they would do it exactly, but maybe give us some basic forms to input into the level. The only thing I could see is it would probably be limited to a certain amount of space. I wouldn't see them allowing you to put this huge, massive, you know, if we looked at it in real life, you know, 10-foot long, you know, level in there. But I think that, you know, maybe three screens wide would be something that we'd see. So yeah, I think we might see that.
And yourself, Lewis?
Okay, well, they had a basic stage creation tool in Brawl. So I think they will build on top of that, and they will let you, both on the gamepad and on the touchscreen of the 3DS, will let you drop down blocks to form your own stage. And hopefully, again, in a similar way to Brawl, but hopefully with a much more improved online infrastructure, let you upload these to a library where you can view others and download them yourselves.
I believe that yes, there will be some form of level creation in this one, in the sense that I think, like what we discussed with Mario Kart, is that I feel like that, you know, Nintendo's wanting to give more to the fans to make this a user-friendly experience to the point where, you know, you're able to customize everything that you want on here, be it, you know, you have a level designer where you can share this online, which I'm hoping with this online experience they have on here, again, is a lot vamped up and a lot smoother. So, I mean, in the case of right now, this is just another case right now that they could use with the gamepad where they could take, you know, the possibilities in there to, you know, you create these stages. Or even during a game, like during a, I guess, a match, for instance, where you're using the gamepad to possibly use, you know, a placement of items or something like that. I mean, all of this is going through my head right now as far as what they could do. But this is something I think is probably very detrimental for there. And for this one, I rule a draw on both of you. So, sorry to disappoint both of you. I know. It's a very dead air moment right there. I mean, the next question on here for us, level up characters and swap between versions. Will there be some form of this? It's Lewis.
Okay. I actually think they are going to go into this sort of direction with the two new Smash Bros. Games. They've had a very, very simplified version of this throughout the series, which is you can create your own profile, and it keeps track of how many other players you have defeated, and it gives you a different symbol next to your username. Now, I think you're going to be able to do this either on a sort of profile basis or on a per character basis, and what the key is going to be is you can sync these changes in a similar way that Monster Hunter 3 will let you do between your 3DS version and your Wii U version, so you can be playing the game portably and gain some, I'm not sure how they will actually benefit you in the actual game, but you'll be gaining this experience from playing through various modes on the 3DS game, and then when you go home you can sync up to the Wii U and you can use or step back up from the same level or experience you are on, and however the game will let you reap these benefits, you will be able to do that on either version of the game and keep progressing regardless of which version you play on.
And you, Scott?
I would love to see some sort of level up system in the game. Start out with Mario at level 1 as you progress and fight battles and bosses and so on, you know, level up and become stronger, maybe gain additional abilities and so on from there. I would love to see something like that. I'm not sure that it will happen, though. I think that might add a level of complication to the game, per se. And the reason I say that is because, Brawl is all about, you know, again, bringing people together and battling against each other and so on.
Seems like your phone is trying to ask a question.
let me turn that off here. So basically, what I'm seeing here is
I have a prediction. My phone does.
It's Facebook. They're all bothering me. but yeah, I mean, I think what happens is as you level up your character. So let's say I'm playing as Mario. I've beat the game. I've played it for countless hours, and I'm leveled up, and I've got him as maxed out on levels. What happens when I have a friend over and we play multiplayer, and my friend chooses a character that is not leveled up? Because obviously I'm going to choose Mario because he's leveled up. That gives me an unfair advantage. Unless if you're playing in multiplayer mode, the level that you're on disappears and goes elsewhere. Kind of is forgiven at that point, and everybody's on the level playing field. Same goes for online. I would imagine that if you're playing online and your character's leveled up, they're going to match you with people of similar levels and skills. However, maybe they won't. I don't know exactly. So I would love to see it. I don't think they'll put it in there. However, I could see on the flip side of that where you learn additional skills. Like, let's say Mario starts out basic, basic like a pound jump where you're in the air and you slam down onto the ground. Maybe as you progress, you gain fireball power. And then later on, you get, the ice ball and so on from there. I could see that more being of the level up system rather than and I could see that shared between the devices rather than actual like strength leveling up.
I agree with both of you on this one. I do feel that there could be some ways as far as Nintendo and Project Sora, Sora and of course Namco Bandai have went on this the subject of that they want to create a different experience to the point where it's just not more new characters, which of course will lead into our next question, is that what can we do to change these things up here? And of course, maybe you have a different character where you can level up and you face with a certain level of people online that you have. And that would be something that really could kind of immerse the player on there as far as somebody just getting tired of playing the same matches again, whatever, with the same kind of, route, grab bag of different people with different possibility or playing abilities. And, of course, there could be a different mode on there where it's just like, hey, people with different levels can just join on this one as opposed to, oh, this is one where it's you have maybe a margin of error, between one or two, one or three different type of level, level ups with these characters. It's an interesting idea because it's just, do you think, Nintendo would want to do that probably as far as, to gain as far as, put their, party slash fighting game up there at the ranks of professional fighting games that you have on there with Street Fighter or Virtua Fighter. And it's quite interesting that you could actually, maybe see this. And is it possible? Yeah, it is. And it's something I kind of agree with you both in that one. And like I mentioned as far as how the the developers of the next Smash Brothers that they do not want to put more characters on here. It's a question of, what characters do you want to see in here? I mean, we know with Namco Bandai, there's a possibility of Pac-Man. And, of course, you know, with Nintendo's relationship with Capcom, who knows if they want to bring Mega Man here. Or maybe implement the Miis. Will any of these type of characters be playable in either of the Smash Brothers titles?
I will say Miis will more than likely be a possibility. I would give that one 99% that they're going to show up in one format or another on there. Whether your Miis are in the background, cheering you on in certain levels, or whether or not they're actually playable. I would guess that they're actually going to be playable. Pac-Man and Mega Man, that's a tough one. Mega Man, I would say, if they're planning on gauging, you know, possibly bringing out a new Mega Man game, this would be the perfect way to gauge it. You know, with the Miiverse and, you know, playing online, how many people choose Mega Man to play online? And, you know, they can get some data to figure out, you know, how popular he is as a character still as compared to he was in the past. I would give Mega Man, you know, 50-50. He could or he could not. Pac-Man, I'm almost going to go a little bit higher on Pac-Man, and I'm going to say there's probably a 75% chance he's going to be there. You know,
would you prefer Pac-Man with the arms and legs, or Pac-Man just as classic Pac-Man?
Well, I'm going to go for the sake of fighting on the game, the arms and legs Pac-Man. However, let's say it would be really cool if we mixed Mega Man and Pac-Man together, where if one of Mega Man's power-ups, instead of shooting out the pellets, he shot out little Pac-Mans. If that was the classic Pac-Man, that'd be a perfect way to combine the two together. That's not going to happen, I'm sure. But with Pac-Man, I would say definitely go with the arms and legs Pac-Man.
And for you, Lewis.
Okay. I know Mega Man has been this much rumoured or anticipated brawler for Smash, and I think this round he's finally going to make it in. I think they do listen to the commenters and the fans, and I imagine Mega Man must be pretty high up there in terms of third party characters requests. So I think it's finally Mega Man's time to join the Smash party, as it were. In terms of Pac-Man, I think he's almost guaranteed. He might be one of the gimmicky last characters you gain, similar to how Rob was in the last game, but I think with Namco on board, Pac-Man will be in at least one of the versions, depending on how the character roster system's going to work between the two. And on the Mii front, yep, I think they're going to be in. I think they're going to be playable. And I think there possibly might be something more involved with the Miis, possibly relating to some sort of leveling up system. They may limit it just to the Miis, in a way that you could customize them and build them into a more interesting character, either with bits of armor from different gaming universes, or other things where they don't actually have to mess around with one of their more serious IPs.
I agree that the Miis are going to be featured in some form and another. I mean, maybe as like a guest character, whatever, that you can input on there with just a set moves that each one will have, and just to have there the sake, like, oh, I'm playing with my own character, you know, and obviously there could be those moments like, hey, let's just beat up on Harry right now, you know, or beat up on Scott, or beat up on Lewis. So, I mean, it's a good little time. I mean, we'll have to get together for, you know, all four of us, including Eugene, if there's an online mode where it just, hey, let's just put our Miis together and see if we can just beat the living tar out of each other. But, I mean, as far as Mega Man, yeah, I agree with Scott on here. I feel like it's more 50-50. And as with Pac-Man, with the connection with Namco Bandai, it's possible to have on there, but I feel like they may have to choose more of, like, the classic, you know, sprite Pac-Man design just for the sake of it, because, I mean, it worked for Mr. Game & Watch and, of course, you know, Rob the Robot, which was not very as much as a mobile out there, but, I mean, there's anything, I mean, in the Smash Brothers universe that can't be overcome, whatever, in this realm that they live in. And, yeah, I mean, those are the type of whatever characters I'd like to have on there. But also, characters I'd like to see in there is a lot of even characters. I'd really, if you're adding characters on there, don't let them be clones of each other. Like, you know, you had with Mario and Dr. Mario,
yeah,
or Toon Link and Adult Link, or Ganondorf and Captain Falcon, which I always found odd why they used his, you know, fighting set on there. I just don't know why. But I'm just glad he didn't do Ganon Punch. I'm like, oh God, please not that. You're bringing back memories of the old cartoon now.
Well, one thing I could see with Pac-Man, just kind of throwing it out there, I could see an in-between with the Pac-Man where you're the arm and leg Pac-Man, but when you get a special item like the hammer, for example, instead of smashing the hammer around, maybe then you turn into actual classic Pac-Man, and instead of smashing the hammer, you're eating your opponents.
Kind of like
Kirby. Yeah, basically, it kind of goes back to what you just said, kind of a clone of one another. In a way, yeah, that would be kind of what it is. And also with Mega Man for you too, what would you like to see with Mega Man? Do you want the fat Mega Man, or do you want the smaller, more child, teenager-like Mega Man?
I'll go with the X version. You know, that's just me right now, but I mean, those are two completely different characters, obviously, as far as different generations, but maybe kind of go with the regular type Mega Man, whatever, just for the sake of nostalgia. And, you know, I mean, we could go on with these different characters, whatever, but I mean, it leads us to our extra prediction. What are your extra predictions for the new Smash Brothers title? Lewis.
Okay. My extra prediction has got something to do with the actual kind of the unique features of the gamepad and how that's going to work in Smash Bros. Now, I think Sakurai is very cautious to make sure the game is as accessible as possible in terms of what controllers you can use. And I don't think in the main modes the person who has the gamepad is going to have any sort of advantage by having this touchscreen because he wants everyone to be on this level playing field. So what I think the Wii U gamepad might be used for, possibly outside of creating custom levels, is there could be a mode where everyone plays with traditional controllers, and the person with the gamepad can act as a kind of a game master, or in addition to like a tournament master. In the actual game themselves, they could be the person who chooses which items will come next and where they will appear. And there might be certain special items where the person with the gamepad is actually directly controlling whatever the item is, whether that's an assist trophy or something new. And I think, in addition to that, outside of the actual battle itself, it will have a system in place where it will tell you who to swap the controller to in a tourney type mode. But it manages who gets to use the gamepad next, similar to a Nintendo Land fashion.
As for you, Scott?
I'm going to go story mode, and this might be an off-the-wall prediction, but I think there is a possibility.
Kind of like the subspace in Missy area or whatever like that.
similar. What I'm going to say is, you know, we had a pretty decent story mode in the last Smash Brothers. In this one, I can see them giving us two story modes. I can see us giving us the lighter side of the story and the darker side. So in one story, you play as the good guys, essentially, and you try to prevent everything from happening. Whereas on the other side, maybe you play as the bad guys, and you try to stop the good guys and have, you know, the bad happen. But I could see with this being a Nintendo game that at the very end, if you play through the darker route, maybe that the bad doesn't happen, maybe something falls apart at the last minute, and you know, one of the cheesier evil doers maybe messes something up, and you still, the good still wins either way. But I could see both routes kind of converging into a different ending there. So that's my prediction. Two storylines, one good, one bad.
Well, this is a very tough one for me. I am going to have to possibly... I'm going to have to side with Lewis on this one. I feel like there could be some story mode on there, but if this one, it would have to be a more refined experience because the subspace in Missy area was, you know, it had those elements from, I think, was Melee, when you'd go through those platforming stages with each of the different characters on there, and it just didn't feel as smooth on there. I mean, it was really nice to see these, you know, the cinematics with each of these characters on there. I mean, that was the, you know, the one saving grace from it. but it didn't really kind of engage me as far as there. I mean, halfway through, I was like, you know, when is this going to be over with? You know, it's just, it felt like a bit of a waste of time for me, but something to kind of make the game seem a little bit bigger. And, you know, I have to side with Lewis on this idea. Now, I did skip over one thing, and, you know, Scott, you know, feverishly typed me through Skype saying that I had skipped this, and yes, I get back to it, and, of course, we have to get to Zelda on here. That, of course, being, you know, both the new 3D Wii U Zelda and, of course, Wind Waker. And on the subject of Wind Waker, and this is one I know I'm probably definitely going to agree on both of you on this one, is will the Wind Waker HD remake have more dungeons, as in the dungeons that were supposedly, you know, well, were eliminated from the original Wind Waker because of time constraints?
I'm going to jump out on a limb here and say it will. I think one thing you find with most HD remakes, they almost always add a little something different, whether it's like in the Final Fantasy or the Kingdom Hearts like remakes, you always see like the final mixes included in the HD versions for the North America and abroad. So I think that you probably will see that in this. If they didn't include them, I would think that later on it will be DLC. But I don't even know if they'd waste their time on that. I think that they would just inject it into the storyline and just make it happen.
As for you, Lewis?
Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be included. I can only imagine the amount of design and actual construction and programming and all the other aspects which go into making a unique and enjoyable Zelda dungeon. And I don't think it's going to be in the top of their priority list in getting this game out of the door for this year. I do think there will be new features for the HD version, but I don't think they're going to be messing around with the core structure of the main story.
You know, I want new dungeons in this one because I felt like, as much as I still enjoy Wind Waker to this day, I felt like it was a little bit incomplete. You know, we all went through the whole Triforce piece, you know, scavenger hunt, which neither one of us, I know probably there's not a sane person, individual in this entire world who would dare say he enjoyed that type of, like, you know, little package in the game, whatever, to kind of stretch out the length of it. And this one I really do, but I'm not going to hold my breath on it. I would welcome these new dungeons, so I'm not sure as far as what they could do there. I mean, who knows, maybe they amp up the difficulty, like, this is what I think, they possibly amp up the difficulty in this game, because I felt like, you know, going through Wind Waker, as artistically and visually stunning it was, even still to this day, I did find it as far as one of the more easier Zelda titles out there. I mean, I could still vividly remember that I only died maybe about 4 times, probably, throughout my journey in that entire game. And, you know, there are all sorts of other features on there. I mean, for instance, the Tingle Tuner that we'd use probably for the Game Boy Advance, which with the GBA and GameCube connectivity. And that, you know, would that be a possibility of another feature being, you know, in the Wind Waker HD?
I think it will return, yes. I don't think it's going to be the default display on your gamepad when you're playing, but I think it's going to be a mode, kind of like boost mode in New Super Mario Bros. U. Where you can choose to play it in Tingle Tuner mode, where the assist player plays with the gamepad and the main player then plays with a pro controller.
I'm actually going to agree with him 100%. I mean, I don't really have anything else to add to that one. I would just say yes.
Yeah, I don't see a reason really taking it out. I mean, it was just a feature there that's kind of fun. But, I mean, if they were to take something out like that, they would, part of me thinks, like, okay, if you're going to be making an HD remake, there's got to be at least a little bit more features to it on there or something like that. But this is something I could probably see brought back, but brought back in a broader sense. So, points for both of you. Now, will we, aside, because we know Wind Waker HD will be present at, you know, at this year's E3, will we get a teaser, be it a screenshot, art, or video of the HD Wii U Zelda? Scott?
I'm going to go against my best judgment here and say yes, they will. I think that we'll probably see some sort of trailer for it. and I think that's fine. The only thing that worries me about that, though, is we've seen it, you know, on the Square Enix side with Versus 13, this new Final Fantasy that supposedly is going to be for you know, the next generation consoles. I'm guessing probably 360 and PS4, hopefully Wii U, but I doubt they'll bring it over. Where, you know, we've seen these teasers, but we've seen these teasers for so long that they just, you know, the games are still in development, they're taking so long, and, you know, every time we see them, we still get those same feelings, but you also realize that, you know, it's a tease because we're not going to see it for a while. I don't know if a Zelda HD is coming out anytime soon. I want it to. It won't be this year. I'd love to see it by the end of next year. I just don't know if it's going to happen. So I think we'll see a teaser just to keep people interested. I just don't want it to drag on that long. I would rather them show it to us, you know, 6 months before the release rather than drag it out, you know, however much longer than that.
Wait, are you insinuating that the next HD Zelda is coming out in 6 months?
No, I'm saying that there's no way possible. So, unless it was coming out within a 6 month time frame, I would say don't show it to us because, you know, I'm guessing that if we see an HD Zelda, it's going to be at the soonest late 2014. That's just my estimate. So, I'd love to see, you know, a teaser of it and where they're going with it. But then again, I don't want to see that same teaser every couple months for the next, you know, year.
It does get annoying. I mean, I was kind of subjected with that, whatever, when I saw Metroid Other M, whatever. I was kind of tired of seeing that same teaser over and over and over and over again. And, you know, it just didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, looking at Versus 13 as an example, maybe that's an extreme example, but, you know, I'll watch that trailer at least once a month just because it's so amazing to watch that trailer, and you know, you kind of get an idea of where you want the game to go just by looking at that trailer. And there's been so much hype about it and so much build up. We don't even know what the game is actually going to look like. Rumor is it's going to be Final Fantasy 15, not Versus 13, and, you know, so on from there. So there's been so many changes potentially since that trailer was released, and I just don't want to see the same thing for such a hardcore core title as like a Zelda.
Lewis, do you believe that we will finally get a sneak peek at the next HD Zelda?
My opinion is this almost the opposite, actually. I don't think we are going to get a teaser, but I would love to see one. To be fair, on the Zelda front, the sooner the better. I know these games take an incredibly long time to make, but any drips and drabs of information, I will take like a happy Nintendo fanboy. Especially so when they, I believe on one E3 they showed a single piece of art after their press conference and during a developer Q&A session, and that's all we knew of what would become Skyward Sword for about a year, I believe, until the next E3. But I would rather have that single piece of art and be teased by Nintendo than nothing at all. But with the other content we know that they're showing, I don't think they need to show off this little teaser yet. I think they can hold this one back for when things get quieter in terms of announcements.
And you know,
in a future event.
That's what I'm hoping for. Absolutely. I hope they do it. I think they're just itching.
They are, and you know, I kind of want to side with Lewis on this one. I feel like they may just tease us with like artwork or where they're going to, or maybe what it's going to be titled. I mean, things to kind of like, you know, give us bite-sized little things to kind of speculate more. I mean, with Zelda HD, like Wind Waker HD, which I believe, you know, should be coming out this year, or who knows, it could probably, I was about to say March of 2014, but that'd be its 11th year anniversary of Wind Waker, but I feel like they're going to kind of keep in hand or whatever of trying to release this in this year for the 10th anniversary of that game. So, but yeah, as far as HD, I think we'll see it in some form. In the same way as Smash Brothers, I don't feel like we will see it have a demo. We will have a video probably at some point, because I believe Sakurai did tweet that we would probably see like some form of video of the next Smash Brothers at this Nintendo Direct, which I know, Scott, actually, yeah, you wrote that story.
Yep.
But yeah, this one, I'm siding with Lewis in this one. And, you know, just for time's sake, going to kind of be skipping extra prediction because I feel like we have not a lot of information as far as on the next HD Zelda and what we kind of already tackled a little bit on the Wind Waker HD. So now we move into our bonus round, so where everybody's a winner right now, which I think we'll just all go into the discussion of what will be announced. And, of course, the first question on here, which is probably the one I've been waiting for right now, will Retro Studios' new game be announced at E3? Scott?
I'm going to say yes. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think that there will be an announcement. It might be something as simple as just a title, maybe a quick little splash screen of the title, the animation and so on it. But I think we're going to hear something about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely about time we hear what Retro's working on. I'm not sure what it's going to be. I'm in two halves whether it's going to be Metroid or other. And if it's going to be something other than Metroid, I reckon it could be a new IP. So, yeah, my mind's split between a Metroid game or something completely new.
I am too, and I agree with both of you on this one. I feel like now is the time to show off Retro's new title. But if, which is I feel like is a monster-sized if right now, if for some reason that, you know, Retro's new title does not make an appearance at E3, you know, it makes me kind of it gives me a bit of a fear on there to question if is there trouble going on at Retro internally, you know, because we've had several, you know, developers and, you know, executives from that developer move away. But then again, there was a rumor, like, then it has been reported that they did move into bigger offices in Austin, Texas. And, you know, in agreement with all of you. And, you know, as you mentioned, Lewis, you know, whether or not is this a new IP or is this going to be Metroid Prime 4 or just a different Metroid title altogether, to both of you, is Retro's next game another Metroid game or a new IP? Lewis.
Okay, if I have to decide between one or the other, I'm actually going to go with a new IP. I think they might be fitting into Rare's old shoes, and I think they're going to be making...
I agree.
I think they're going to be making a new shooter IP, possibly something in the vein of Perfect Dark. I'm not saying it's going to necessarily have a similar theme, as it were, but I think it's going to be a... not quite a Call of Duty gritty shooter, but it's going to be a dark shooter with some sort of a comical aspects and a focus on local multiplayer, which will have also the inclusion of online multiplayer.
Interesting. I mean, yes, all valid points. Scott, Metroid or new IP for Retro?
I'm actually fairly much in agreement with him. I don't think it's going to be a Metroid. If it were going to be a Metroid, why keep such a huge secret? I mean, all they have to do is mention the word Metroid. The internet's going to be a buzz. They don't even have to show us anything, you know, as long as this rumor's been out. The excitement's built. It's Metroid. What else do they need? So I don't think there's any reason to keep it a secret. I mean, it would have been better for them to say, hey, a new Metroid is coming. No details until E3 or until after E3. And everybody that's a Nintendo fan would just be, you know, just anxiously awaiting this, and it would be automatically huge. So I don't think it's a Metroid. I think it's going to be a new IP, and I'm in agreement with Lewis here. I think that they're going to kind of go the route with a first-person shooter, and I think that Nintendo is really going to make something that could really go up against the Call of Duty fan base, and basically, you know, as a message, you know, that, you know, to basically EA saying that, you know, we don't need your Call of Duty or your games. We can make our own games with our partners that are just as good, if not better, and I would, you know, lean more towards better, and satisfy our fan base as well as your fan base. I think it will be darker. I don't think it's going to be, you know, necessarily as bloody or whatnot as a Call of Duty would be, but I think it's going to have you know, similar styling, but maybe a more you know, immersive storyline than you get with, like, a
you
Call
know,
of Duty.
And as huge as a Metroid fan as I am, I really feel like that the series is going to be handed off to somebody else. Personally, not Team Ninja. I mean, but then again, I'm one who believed in Other M that Sakamoto's script is what kind of brought that game down for me as far as, you know, from achieving true greatness. But yeah, an IP I think is the right decision to go with Retro. I mean, if you're doing with Metro, Metroid, I mean, what's the point right now as far as, you know, having this on there? I mean, you have this prime, you know, second-party developer that you've bought 100% stake into to be part of your company, and yet this is, like, the only thing you're... Aside from a couple levels of Mario Kart 7, Donkey Kong Country Returns, and the Prime Trilogy, it's you want this developer to kind of flex its muscles a little bit, you know, try out new IPs, or even, you know, tackle a different Nintendo IP, for instance. I mean, I have a friend of mine who is still believes that Retro's next game is going to be a Star Tropics reboot.
That would be amazing.
Let that flesh in for a little bit, because... And, of course, you know, Retro has been quoted as saying that the next title is going to be something, you know, something everybody has always wanted us to do. And, of course, something that's unlike anything else. So, you know, you have that. And, of course, if Retro's game is not unveiled in E3, don't worry, Nintendo listeners and readers, I will document my trip to Austin, Texas as I'm banging on Retro's doors asking for answers right there. And I will document every bit of it. So you can count on that. To move on, more of our bonus round and these E3 predictions, Sonic, this third Sonic game in the partnership with Sega, will be revealed.
I'm going to say no on this one. Other than maybe a cryptic teaser, you know, just a quick flash of, you know, again, title screen or possibly a very, very quick, you know, gameplay or maybe a storyline introduction, I'm going to say no. And the reason being is they've already got two Sonic games, you know, pretty much ready to be released. I think they're going to save this one until later on when they need it, kind of keep it in their back pocket. And that's because, you know, obviously Xbox and PlayStation, they're going to release, you know, a lot of their big guns. But they're also going to keep some things hidden. That way, later on, they can surprise the fans with, you know, a new game or a new feature or whatever it might be. I think this is something that Nintendo is going to kind of wait until that time. And when there's buzz with the other two companies, I think that's when Nintendo is going to pull this out and say, you know, well, they've got this new stuff. We've got this to show you now. And I think they're going to, kind of similar to what I hope they do with an HD Zelda, although I think the HD Zelda is going to get a little bit more play on there.
I'm mostly in agreement here. I think Sega's got their hands busy. Not just with the two Sonic games,
yeah,
but they both have two different SKUs. And because of the difference in power between the Wii U and the 3DS, they are most likely almost both built from the ground up and not sharing much code between each other. So they essentially do have four Sonic games, which have already been revealed to the public already. I think they will be waiting for a future date to unveil what else is coming from them.
You know what, and I'm in agreement as well with both of you. I mean, I'd be surprised, I wouldn't be shocked if they showed it off at E3, but again, I think Sega has more other offerings that they really need to show off, and I think as far as line they are with a title that I have no interest in, which is, you know, Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympic Games, but of course there's one Sonic Lost World I have on there. I feel like they're kind of waiting a little bit more while not to kind of, you know, count their chickens, like, well, what am I saying, for, like, you know, count their chickens before they hatch. So, in the case right now, I feel like they're going to hold back on this one. We'll go a little more rapid fire as far as games on here. Will we see either a sequel to Zombie U, a new F-Zero, or a new Star Fox this year?
Zombie U 2, I'm going to say yes. You know, Zombie Reggie was a hit last year. I think that they'll do something similar this year.
I was freaked out by that. I really was.
I was too. But I think they'll add some new features to that portion of the game, and I think that, you know, they'll kind of embarrass Reggie a little bit on that. F-Zero and Star Fox, I'm going to say no on both of those. I mean, I think that, you know, there really aren't even any real huge rumors floating around about either of them. If they show either of those, it's going to be a pretty big surprise. If anything, maybe a hint that there might be something coming in the future. But again, I don't think it's going to be anything anytime soon.
As for you, Lewis,
unfortunately, I'm mostly in agreement over here. We heard from, yeah,
we have a shocker.
One of Ubisoft's creative directors that there was a prototype of what is essentially Zombie U 2. being developed with no confirmation that it will turn out to be a thing. But despite what's happened with Rayman Legends, Ubisoft is actually pretty much all over the Wii U. And I think they're trying to prove, to people who buy Nintendo consoles that Ubisoft franchises are actually good games and worth returning to on your Nintendo console. So I think there might be a Zombie U 2 teaser. I don't think there will be anything to even play this year, and it definitely won't be out this year, but I think they're going to reveal that it is in the works, and they are basically building the follow-up to their new IP, which is going to still be exclusive to Wii U. In terms of F-Zero and Star Fox, I would love to see either. I'm not sure that either is going to be shown at E3. If I had to pick one over the other of possibilities, I think the new F-Zero will be more the most likely candidate. And I think it could be a Wii U title. I don't think it would be something out this year, but I think it would be a great graphical showcase for what the Wii U can do. And I think it's got much more of a chance coming out, possibly, unfortunately, over Star Fox.
You know, and I kind of agree with you on there. I know we probably will get some form of a Zombie U trailer. I have not played the first one yet. That was one I should probably go back and do it, despite its flaws.
Oh, you definitely should. Almost going a little back to my earlier discussion on Revelations, Zombie U is actually a surprisingly scary, genuinely scary game.
I take your word for it on that one. I mean, that's one thing I've heard on there, but I mean, I've heard from between us, it's a great game that had great use of the Wii U gamepad, but also I've heard reviews as far as saying it's quite generic, but it's kind of a love or hate type of game. I've gotten the gist of it. And, but as far as F-Zero and Star Fox, I'd be shocked if both of these show on there, and that would make me extremely happy as far as to see more of these IP, like Nintendo's catalog, coming back out such this year. But if I had to bank on one, probably maybe Star Fox. I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, the only good developer I could probably see probably taking the reins of this would be Treasure, you know, who did, you know, Ikaruga. If they, you know, if there's any good developer out there that can do, you know, on-rail shooters well, it's Treasure. And, you know, that'd be probably the more suitable one on there. And, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of these different IPs that Nintendo can pull out. I mean, luckily, you know, you have Monolith Soft, which, of course, their new title, X, which aside from a teaser, I think we're on agreement that this is a continuation of possibly, you know, the Xenoblade series. Are we in agreement?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we will see more of X. I don't know if we're going to get a release date or anything, you know, set in stone as of yet, but I think we'll see maybe a little bit more of it, maybe a little bit more gameplay. Of course, we're going to see the original trailer that we saw, followed by some gameplay, maybe an extended trailer. I don't know if they'll give it another name. You know, I kind of like the name X4. I mean, it kind of adds some more mystery to it at this point. And if it does tie in with Xenoblade Chronicles, I think that's, you know, that's perfect, you know, a perfect segue into it. So I think it's going to stay named X. I think we'll see a little bit more of it. I don't know if it's going to be a confirmed sequel, although I think it's going to have some sort of tie-in, you know, whether it's something else happening during the same time frame, or I don't think it's going to be a prequel. I think it maybe is, maybe be like a loose sequel, maybe not a direct sequel, but definitely tie-in.
I'm not familiar with the Xenoblade. I mean, I wish I would have played, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii U, or not the Wii U, but the Wii U when I had the chance. I had a friend of mine who played a little bit, and I saw him play it. I liked what I saw. It was one of those titles I think it's finally kind of getting my interest back in the JRPGs, even though my interest is more in the Western style that we'd seen from, like, BioWare. I mean, I know you've played a little bit, Lewis, haven't you? What do you think about this as far as this being a direct sequel or, you know, being given another name or being a tie-in to the Xenoblade Chronicles?
Well, I think there are clues in the trailer that it can be a tie-in. Beyond the actual the gameplay mechanics, there's a character shown quite at the end of the trailer which looks similar, although not quite the same, to the lead of Xenoblade Chronicles, who is Shulk. And I think they've deliberately kept their options open. I think they're watching the fan reaction to see if people are excited for a sequel, or if people are just excited in general because it's a great-looking JRPG. And I think that will determine whether it is called Xenoblade 2 or it's called Xeno and then something else. I think it will keep the tradition of being called Xeno something, either way. If I had to bet on one or the other, I think they will give it a different name. It won't have the number 2 in the title, but it will be a sequel. But if you've never played the first game, it won't really matter. They will introduce all the characters again, and I think the game will probably take place either a fair amount of time before the previous game or a huge amount of time before the previous game, where there are just references to what had happened before. But when this game was actually originally announced on the earlier of the Nintendo Directs we had this year, this game looked the most furthest along in terms of development. We had a I think almost a couple minutes of pure gameplay shown, where there were different environments, there was you running around, there were you fighting giant creatures, controlling mechs, battling with mechs, all these various things from this game which looked really really quite incredible. So I think this game could be a lot further along than people are giving it credit for, and I think the Monolith guys have been working on this since they finished work on the Japanese version of Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii. And because of the delay from the Japanese version to the European version and then the American version, they've actually had about 3 or so years of possible development on this title already? Or 3 to 4 years? I don't think it's going to be out this year, although it's a possibility in my book. But I think it will be out in the first half of next year.
You know, and I think like they're saving that probably for later on because it's like a little development time. And I'm agreeing with Ellie on that one. And hopefully, you know, when we see this new title, I mean, hopefully they bring new things to the JRPG format, which. I just feel like it's becoming a little bit stale, but, you know, hopefully we can see that with a new Pokemon game. Would you guys like to see a new Pokemon Wii U game announced probably at E3? Is it possible?
I'm going to say possibility is a no. We just got Black and White 2, we just got X and Y, you know, we'll get X and Y. I don't think we're going to see a Wii U game, unless they are going to give us a Pokemon RPG or something, you know, something that's highly anticipated, Pokemon Snap or whatnot for the Wii U. I don't think it's going to happen. It's just too soon after Black and White 2 and X and Y to happen. I mean, really, X and Y, I was surprised when that was announced so soon after Black and White 2. So I would say next E3, yes. This E3,
as
no.
For you, Lewis?
Okay, just picking up from Scott there, I think the Pokemon Snap U would be absolutely perfect, but I don't think it's something they're going to announce, unfortunately. But I would like to see them do that. I think they might announce a new a Wii U Pokemon game. I don't think it'll be out this year, but I think it will essentially fill the role of the old Stadium games. So I think they're going to show off some of the new Pokemon in HD, and will be the promise that one day in the future, probably next year after you've bought X and Y, you'll be able to buy the Wii U version, or the Stadium or Coliseum game, and upload your 3D monsters onto the HDTV to battle with your friends.
You know, that's actually kind of interesting there, because, you know, if they showed it to us, I think that, you know, maybe they could give us a glimpse. I really doubt it. But if they do, one thing that is interesting, you know, especially with the online capabilities and so on, and posting to the Miiverse, as we play these games, especially on the Wii U, as we play these games, anybody who beats a game or gets to like the end levels or whatnot, whether we like it or not, we post to the Miiverse that, you know, the level was really hard, yay, I finally beat the game, kind of announce where you're at in the game. And that's all going up to, you know, Nintendo in one way or another, especially if it's text. I'm sure they're looking for those things. So as we beat, like, say, X and Y and Black and White 2 and, you know, other games too, not just Pokemon games, as people that purchase these games have beat these games and, you know, maybe go back and replay some of the levels, but kind of get to the point where they're done with the games and they're moving on to the next one, Nintendo has the capability now, even more than they have in the past, to see where people are at in the progress of these games. So maybe 6 months down the line or whatnot, I could see that's when they come out with a Nintendo Direct and say, well, everybody's beat X and Y. Pokemon is going to be kind of, you know, lost in the shuffle now because newer games are coming out. So let's announce this new Wii U game. So I don't think it'll happen at E3, but I think it will happen probably by mid next year.
I just thought of an idea.
Something like that.
Even though we've been clamoring for what seems like the last 10 years for a Pokemon MMORPG, bear with me, this could be a good idea. A Pokemon game in the vein of what Skylanders and Disney Infinity are doing.
I could see that. I think that's in the Wii U, for the Wii U, I should say. I think that's probably the next level of Pokemon gaming that we're going to see, because they're making incremental money off that. One, you buy the game. Two, you might buy any DLC that might be available, if at all. But three, look at the countless number of toys. Who knows what new Pokemon they'll add? But let's say they add, you know, new Pokemon. We're looking at potentially 800, 900 figures that you could buy to build your team or your collection and whatnot.
It'd be a good little cash grab. Well, not cash grab, but a good little, you know, money maker for what it can be. I mean, giving these collectibles. I mean, that, and I could just get the collectible idea, whatever, back in the habit of what we've did with the old Pokemon figures that we had, aside from the trading cards and, of course, the games.
Yeah, so Nintendo of Japan have released a Wii U edition to the Pokemon Scramble game, which does use NFC Pokemon figures, although at a very limited capacity. I think there's only about a dozen or so of them available. Unfortunately, the game itself is not meant to be very good. But what sort of game would you like to see these figures used for, then, in an NFC-enabled Wii U Pokemon title?
I would welcome it. I mean, but it's just... you know, it's an idea I felt like that could be a good idea financially for Nintendo. And, you know, it's... Yeah, and,
I think Pokemon Stadium would probably be one of the best cases for this. Just like a head-to-head battle game where, you know, you're not really limited to what they give you right away. You're limited to what you're willing
to
purchase.
Actually, no, I do agree with
you,
Scott. In the Stadium games, you would link up your portable version to trade your monsters. And if you weren't able to do that, you would have this kind of stock library. But if they can have these NFC Skylander-type figures, which keep the stats on the model themselves, that would be a great way for them to get users to play a Pokemon Stadium game on the Wii U console via purchasing these new figures, so they can keep their choice of moves and keep their level and keep the any items they have equipped to them. And then they can also bring these over to a friend's house, say they're party of five figures, and they can upload them on their gamepads. And it would be a very interesting way, and I could really see that catching on as a fad that kids would really grab onto, because they could have their physical Pokemon party and carry them around with each other.
I think of the competitions. I mean, similar to some of the other, you know, card-based games out there. Let's say that, you know, I meet up at, you know, wherever, and I'm battling against, you know, any number of other people. What if, as I'm playing, if one of my Pokemon lose, then the other person that defeated me, what if they, as part of this competition, take my Pokemon now? And, you know, with all of its stats and everything, and... You know, now I'm left with whatever I have in my possession to continue battling. I could walk out of there with losing everything, or, you know, I could walk out of there plus with more than I actually entered with. So it would open up a lot, you know, of possibilities for it. So
Close out, but I still don't think anything is possible on here with this Pokemon title. Like, we have Black and White, you know, well, not Black and White 2, but we have, you know, X and Y coming out. And, you know, to kind of, the sake of time right now, you know, because this, we're probably rounding out our longest podcast that we ever had with Infendo Radio right now, so good for everybody. This is, you know, our, we rarely do this, you know, listeners. But, you know, to close out, well, to the prediction portion, what other predictions do you see probably from the show? Scott?
You know, just to go through quick, you know, I think that we I think we will see a new SKU announced for the Wii U. I think we'll see, some extra, you know, whether, you know, something above deluxe or whatnot. We will see something different. I think we will see a price change. I should change it. I don't know if we will see a price change. I think it's going to depend, what Sony and Microsoft do in the E3. If they announce pricing during E3, and if that pricing is lower than expected, I think that at one point we will see a price announcement. If there is no mention of pricing, or if we see that the other two consoles are going to be $500 and above, I don't think we're going to see any price change, because, I mean, $300 compared to $500+, obviously, in a family such as mine, I'm going to buy the Wii U. If I went in knowing nothing about video game consoles, I'm going to go for the cheaper one because I'm a parent and my money can go somewhere else for the kids, I'm sure. I also think that we're going to potentially see a second gamepad, you know, capability added on. Obviously, it's not going to be available for any current games unless they do any updates to those games. And maybe that will be part of it. Certain games will have upgrades to them to allow two gamepads. But going along with that, I think we'll also see an actual price.
What about you, Lewis? Any other, you know, off-the-wall predictions probably that, you know, you'd like to see Nintendo up to pull out of their sleeve?
Okay, I think at least one of their big titles is going to have a big push towards the NFC reader in the gamepad, because beyond the currently exclusive Pokemon Scramble game in Japan, we haven't seen any use out of it. I think what the title might be will be the next Smash Bros. Yeah, and they could use it in a variety of ways. They could obviously use it to unlock additional characters, but they could also use it in a way that, similar to what we were discussing with a potential Pokemon game, is where you could store your, even if it was just your kind of controller button layouts, but if it allows you to upgrade your characters or to level them up in any sort of fashion, it would be able to store those stats onto the figurines, so you could take that figurine around your friend's house and you would have your character and its abilities ready to go. I don't think there will be a second gamepad announced at this year's E3. I think they might have been planning to about this time last year to announce it this year, but I don't think the Wii has sold in large enough quantities that they were expecting to be able to start pushing a fairly expensive accessory in addition to the Wii U. I think releasing the additional gamepad now might even put some people off of the Wii U as they kind of top up the price of the second gamepad on top of the Wii U console price, as many console buyers buy their consoles with a second controller. So I think they're going to save that for a future event. Either way, whether it's discussed or not, I think the second gamepad support is already baked into the next Smash Bros.
All good predictions, all of which I hope come true, and the one that I'm just going to set on here, I think we're going to finally see a new IP from Nintendo, be it if it's retro or from a different developer. That is what I'm kind of banking on, because I feel like the time is right for them to actually, you know, it may not be in playable form, it may be in just a short teaser that Nintendo cooked up because they knew ahead of time that, you know, Wii U sales may not be up to par, probably what they originally, you know, forecasted. And as far as SKUs, I don't think there'll be any different ones. But I think there could be a possibility that we'll finally see more usage of, you know, two gamepad support. But overall, I mean, this is such a good time for us to, you know, finally see all these kind of predictions, you know, and I just wish we were kind of going to this kind of event to enjoy it and, you know, revel, like, you know, just deal with all the excitement of, you know, what it feels like, you know, what journalists kind of go through knowing that this is kind of a, you either love, it's a love-hate relationship with E3 as far as, you know, you're dealing with appointments, you know, sitting on your lap, whatever, with your laptop, whatever, to write up stories as quickly as possible, you know, going to events, you know, playing these games, waiting in line, and of course, taking impressions. I mean, it's all the life as far as, you know, a blogger or a journalist out there, you know, trying to cover this industry. And, you know, as much as we talked about predictions, you know, it is close to come out the show. But before, we do have one reader question. And, you know, and this reader question comes from via email from at tipsatinfinito.com from Chris Bradshaw. If both the Xbox One and the PS4 flop at launch, then I believe EA has dropped the ball big time. Nintendo may have rushed the Wii U out before the competition so they could work out the bugs and have a smooth running system while Sony and Microsoft duke it out. Overall, price will dictate who ends the year on top more than anything. Nintendo is sitting pretty good right now, in my opinion. Okay, that's not really a question. I know that, Chris, right there. But, yeah, I know. I really wish I would have... I was wondering why there were no question marks at the end of this question right now. You know, in the case of, like, Nintendo right now, yes, they are losing that sports demographic that which they have for, you know, is very key to most consoles as far as moving units, you know, year by year who pick up these each versions. But as far as both PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One flopping at launch, it depends on, you know, what, I mean, I feel like even though Microsoft could be encountering a similar situation with the Wii U did as far as differentiating between a brand, you know, Xbox One as far as differentiating between, you know, 360 as far as it confusing, and then you have the Wii and Wii U as an accessory. That's what I feel like could possibly trouble Microsoft, but probably not to the extent of what Nintendo did. And, of course, it was just revealed before the beginning of this podcast that, you know, that with Microsoft, yes, with the Xbox One, it is confirmed that, you know, you have to have check your console in once every 24 hours. So essentially it is, yes, always has to be online. I know this question that I was trying to get on there, but, you know, what else do you have to say about this issue, you know, Scott and Lewis, between, you know, EA favoring, you know, both Sony and Microsoft as opposed to Nintendo, but yet still having, you know, certain titles in development?
I think a very good point is raised where how well the other consoles will actually do after launch, and that price will ultimately detect who wins and who loses. If the next Microsoft and Sony consoles come out at $500 or $600 SKUs, I don't think either will be taking off anytime soon. However, if either one has a SKU, say $350 on the low ends, the same price as the Wii U Premium is currently, I can see the opposite situation happening and them selling very fast, and I think we would see some sort of reaction from Nintendo. I think realistically, we'll probably have Sony being more cautious, despite their best interest from their investors, releasing a console at $399 to avoid the $499 and $599 SKUs they were laughed out of on the announcements of this generation. And I think Microsoft is going to be more ballsy over their pricing because they will have the next generation Kinect in the box. So I think they will have basically the PlayStation 3 initial launch prices.
I don't look for either console to really, you know, lose it all at launch. I mean, I think that, you know, depending on pricing, if it is a higher pricing, if it's a, I'm going to go, you know, $450 and above, I think that it will have a slow start, especially with the lower price of the Wii U. But there are a lot of Sony and Xbox fanboys and girls out there. So I don't think it's going to fail. I think that, you know, maybe they won't buy as quickly as maybe they have in the past, but they're going to buy it. And I don't think I don't think either is going to fail. And both companies, I believe, you know, like Nintendo, they've got the money built in elsewhere where they can sustain themselves at a loss for, you know, for a decent amount of time, whether that's 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, I don't know. But I think that they will be able to, you know, make something of make it a great system. But I think there might be a slow takeoff regardless. You know, especially with Microsoft, they have new IPs that they've announced, but they haven't announced. We know nothing about them. Anytime there's a new IP, people are interested in it. You know, however, one thing that you know kind of caught me when you read that is that, you know, their success or their failure was kind of was kind of side by side with EA, and I the way I feel is, you know, a developer itself, a third party developer, should never make or break the console in general. If you have you know, really good IPs that are exclusive to you, like the Marios and the Zeldas and so on, you know, those can make or break a console. I mean, those are your key icons of your company, and if they drop below par and whatnot, I mean, if you don't, you know, put the time and energy to make those great, what are you doing for your console? I mean, that's a reflection of yourself. But when you have third party companies coming in here and building games, we shouldn't use them as a basis for if a system lives or dies. I mean, sure, there's conflict between Nintendo and EA. But that could easily turn exactly the same way against, you know, Sony and EA or Microsoft and EA. However, it's not at this time, and it may not any time in the future. But EA is not Sony, EA is not Microsoft, EA is not Nintendo, or whatever future consoles might come out. So I don't think you can blame that on them. I mean, a sports game, sure, they've got exclusivity for, you know, sports teams and players, but... And they sell the games, but if the game is good, you don't need the actual teams. You don't need the actual players. You know, you don't need the Call of Duty name on a box to sell a first-person shooter. They help, don't get me wrong, but you don't need that stuff. And I think that, you know, Microsoft and Sony could both say, we're not releasing any EA games on our consoles because we don't like the way they're dealing with Nintendo. We don't want them to come in the same position. We don't want to be in the same position in the future, so we're just going to cut ties. They won't, but they could say that, and they're going to sell just as well as they would have with
EA. Yeah, and overall, I do agree on this one, and it's just another storied history between, you know, Nintendo and EA's love-hate relationship that they have between each other. And, you know, will it improve? You know, it's up to the consumer to make sure as EA to, you know, provide more offerings to this console. And, you know, we could talk more about this, but we are approaching right now close to 2.5 hours on this pre-E3 predictions podcast, and I'm thinking, wow, we did really go this long. But before we go, we'd like to give out our Twitter handles for everybody. Scott and Lewis, would you like to give out your handles?
Sure, at Twitter, at Essel Pratt, Facebook.com/EsselPrattWriting.
Okay, my Twitter handle is Leuvision, which is spelled Leuvision.
And my Twitter handle is H. Melfeld, spelled HMILFELD, and D as in dog. For those who are interested, you know, we're changing up the podcast format, and, you know, sadly, you know, Eugene is not here with us again, and we hope to get him back, hopefully, for our post-E3 thoughts right now, and, you know, but in the meantime, you can share, you know, send us questions or suggestions at tips@infendo.com or at our forums, which, yes, it's still a thing, so you could post there, and again, you know, you have tips@infendo.com, you have the forums, and of course, you know, you have our Twitter handles, you know, tweet at us, you know, follow us, and we'll direct message you if you feel like it as well, whatever, and we'll share your questions as well. And without further ado, that concludes another edition of Infendo Radio, and we hope to see you again for our post-E3 thoughts. See you later, everybody.